adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231. PL 1975 has been provided by a public notice on January 3rd, 2017, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office. Every single month, I remember. And on the bulletin board in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. So the first item on the agenda is oath of office.
Okay, Kathleen. So I'm going to do the oath of office for the mayor. And repeat after me. I, Peggy Malkin.
I, Peggy Malkin.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established.
And to the governments established.
In the United States.
In the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially and justly.
Impartially and justly.
Perform all the duties.
Perform all the duties.
Of the office of mayor.
Of the office of mayor.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Thank you. If you just want to sign. Robin?
I, Robin Middleman Phillips.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
And to the governments.
And to the government
established in the United States,
established in the United States,
and in this state,
and in this state,
under the authority of the people,
under the authority of the people,
and that I will faithfully,
and that I will faithfully,
impartially,
impartially,
and justly perform,
and justly perform,
all the duties,
all the duties,
of the office of council member,
of the office of council member,
according to the best of my ability,
according to the best of my ability.
Okay, Deirdre. Right hand. Okay, I, Deirdre Sheehan.
I, Deirdre Sheehan.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
Of the State of New Jersey.
Of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
And to the governments established.
And to the government established.
In the United States.
In the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
And partially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform.
All the duties.
All the duties.
Of the office of council member.
Of the office of council member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
And she wants to sign. She can sign this one too.
Okay. I'm going to, before we do the roll call, should we do the roll call first, or I was going to make some remarks?
We'll do the roll call and then the
mayor. Okay.
Yep. Okay. So, roll call. Ms. Phillip?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Parrott?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay.
I have a sore throat, so excuse me if I'm not clear enough. I'd like to welcome everyone, and particularly our new council persons who have just been sworn in. I'm extremely grateful for the participation of these additions to our council. We're all aware that the town of Roosevelt runs on volunteerism, and Deirdre and Robin are providing a great service to the community. I'm going to save the rest of my remarks for the reorganization meeting. In about 4 or 5 weeks, we have another reorganization on a larger scale than tonight. So I will speak to it more then. But I just want to say that, at that reorganization meeting, Joe Trammell and Maureen Parrott will be sworn in, and then there's a lot of business to be conducted. So I'd like to invite everyone to that meeting on January 2nd. It's a Tuesday, I think a Tuesday night, as it's a chance to meet all of your elected officials. And after the meeting, there'll be a small celebration, and people can chat in a more informal manner. So the next item on the agenda is the Borough Council appointment, selecting a council member to serve as council president.
I'd like to nominate Joe Trammell to serve as council president.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, can we do an all in favor on this?
I'd like to nominate Mike Hamilton as council president.
Unfortunately, I can't do it. As much as I'd like to, I'm never always sure that I can be here.
Any other nominations?
Any other nominations?
Vote.
Okay. I have a question, though. Will this be, how long will this council president be?
For 3 meetings. until reorganization.
Okay. So it's just very temporary.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay. So can we just do a...
Voice.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor of Joe Trammell as council president?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed. Any opposed? Okay. Congratulations, Mr. Trammell. You're now the new council president. Okay. I'll open the floor to public comment on the agenda items only. Bart? Sure.
Peggy, could we have people come up to the microphone?
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thanks, Robin.
That's okay.
Bert Ellentuck, 22 Homestead Lane. So I have a number of things, and I'll start at the bottom, which is the bill list. There's a bill here for $6,800 to repair the old Erich sewer plant. Can I get an explanation of what happened and why we had to replace the auger, and did we replace with a brand new one? Anything else involved?
Can you answer that, Chuck?
If I can answer, as far as I know, the auger was set up to be repaired sometime last year, and the follow-through has happened now.
The question I'm making is, what is the repair?
It was making a lot of noise. It was binding on the flushable wipes that weren't supposed to be flushed. It spiderwebbed all throughout the auger, and the blades that were supposed to chop them up before it got to the auger. The auger apparently was making a lot of noise and stopped working.
So I haven't heard that you replaced the auger yet.
The
you cleaned out... The
material
sewage
that
way,
was.
And then the auger was making a noise, and you corrected the noise.
The auger was making noise since it was put in.
Did the noise affect the operation of the auger?
Apparently, the auger stopped working.
What do you mean, apparently?
I wasn't there. So I was told that it stopped working by the by Toby and by Carmella, actually.
How long was it out of service?
I believe this past 2 or 3 months.
Been out of service, so we're putting, you should forgive me, unshopped up toilet feces through the sewer plant.
No, what?
Without previous, we were putting up undestroyed or chopped up sewage through the plant.
They
and
would,
I assume that other things happened down the line because of that.
They would take a rake and rake the unchopped up sewage out of the trap before the auger and put it into buckets or 50-gallon barrels with holes in them so the liquid could come out. And they would, by hand, do that on a daily basis.
Okay. So this went on for a month?
As far as I know, 2 or 3 months.
2 or 3 months. And for some reason, nobody knew that it had to be fixed?
This was brought up in meetings this past year, and everyone knew it had to be fixed. And it was deemed by the council that it should be fixed, and it was repaired.
Fairly late. I mean,
it was set up about a year ago. About a year ago, the council said they should go ahead and fix it.
Okay, and it didn't get fixed until this bill came July 26th.
This year.
This year.
Do you know when the problem first occurred, Joe, approximately?
The problem first occurred, as far as I know, when the auger was installed. I know Mike Hamilton lives near there and could hear the auger making a lot of noise, mechanical metal-on-metal noise.
Okay, so...
And how long ago was that?
Mike?
Well, prior to July.
Well, that was several years ago when it was first installed. It was supposed to be lubricated with water. And the water wasn't lubricating it properly. There was metal-to-metal contact. It was making a scraping noise all night long, and I brought it to Toby's attention. We brought the engineer out. There was some discussion about how to re-engineer it. And I think it's been on, off and on, over the last few months, and Toby tried to make some changes with it. It's not cutting the rags properly either. There are these blades that are supposed to chop up the rags. Otherwise, they get caught up and they just continue to circulate around.
They spider web up the auger and stop it from working.
This has been problematic for quite some time, this machine. And they are manually raking it. I see Toby out there raking out anything that people flush down the toilet. And it's quite a lot of things that end up in there. But they're all raked out and cleaned out manually until we get an adequate repair on it.
Oh, so we paid $6,860 for the repair of the auger. And the auger is now working perfectly?
Right now, as far as I know, the auger is not working.
The auger is not working. We paid $6,800 for it and it's not working?
Mm-hmm.
And what are we doing about it?
We're going to meet there on Thursday, and that will be one of the things that will be discussed.
Who you're meeting with, municipal and maintenance company?
Meeting with the DEP, Toby, Carmella.
Yeah, the borough engineer.
The borough engineer, Carmella.
Will be there. We want her to look at it first before we kick it back on to make sure we don't have any other engineering problems. It's an expensive piece of equipment. And whenever you hear metal-to-metal contact, I start thinking metal fatigue, damage, and the thing's going to get destroyed. We don't want that.
Did we have any kind of document about the proposed performance of the auger?
Yeah, we have engineering drawings as to how it was supposed to be set up. The engineer wanted it set up one way. Toby wanted it set up another way. It was problematic from the very beginning because there were disagreements on how to set it up in a way so that it functions properly. Hopefully we can get resolution on this. I don't think anybody won, and that's we just want it repaired. We don't want anybody to win or lose.
There was a disagreement as to how it should be put into service.
Yeah, I wasn't on
somebody
the council.
Somebody made then. A decision.
Yeah.
And who made the decision?
whomever was on the council with Carmella, the engineer, and with Toby. They made that decision a few years ago when the auger went in.
It was the utility committee along with the engineer and Toby.
So they made the decision for this particular auger, and
So now we want to try to put new eyes on it and get it working the way it should work, or whatever the alternatives are.
And there was no guarantee on it, I take it, to cover, or insurance to cover this cost.
From when it was originally installed, I don't know.
Okay. Moving along. Mr. Souse did a lot of work in the water and sewer plant. The tune of about $3,000, and he also did, that's on the 1127, and in the 1117, I guess it's 17, he also did more work in the same place. Does that have anything to do with the auger?
I believe that has to do with the automatic pH monitor system. He helped install that.
And that failed, as I understand it.
It hasn't.
Didn't you have a problem with that? It wasn't that somewhere
in
here.
I don't know that it has been
sodium
installed
hydroxide.
Quite yet.
No, that was the pump. You're talking about the pump.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a monitoring system.
Yeah, that was repaired 2 or 3 months ago, the pump itself.
Well,
right.
I mean, these are old bills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was
Blue
also
book.
Bert, there was also a master meter that monitors how much water is flowing out of the plant that needed to be replaced. That was $450. There was an electronic control valve that needed to be replaced. He replaced that. That was $350. There's a lot of work.
A lot of work there. Yep. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yep.
Blue book. I don't understand the blue book, because in my business, the blue book is a book in which you find suppliers and contractors for all of the building trades. And I don't know what this blue book is. Why would you? What, you're buying material from the blue book?
Which bill is?
This is USABL005, USA Blue Book
17-00823. Yeah, that would really be a question for Anna to answer. We can certainly.
For who?
Anna Debevic, our purchasing agent and treasurer.
Well, you bought a well sounder and a drying rack. What does the treasurer have to know about that?
It's miscellaneous supplies for the sewer plant.
Does it say that?
It does. Underneath.
I have it here.
Are we looking at the same thing?
What page are you on, Bert?
Well sounder and blue book. You see anything about the sewer plant there?
What page is that?
What number
is
it? US Blue Book, miscellaneous supply.
That's what we have, US Blue Book, miscellaneous supply, sewer plant.
Which bill is this? 11.
Well sounder drying rack, right?
Yeah, that's on the other bill system, November 9th.
1700823.
Well sounder drying rack. The bills for that 1113 are on our website. The bills.
That's where
themselves.
I got this from.
Oh, okay. No, the bills themselves are on there.
Oh, I don't see the bills. All I see is this.
I'm just trying to look at it, but
I don't think it's on my website. I don't think it's on. It doesn't come to my machine. All
it's
that comes to my machine is this.
Yeah.
On RooseveltNJ.us under council.
I'm sorry. If I see something that says minutes of meeting and it includes the bills, I don't go any further.
No.
I apologize for that.
No, that's fine. I'm just suggesting that they're on there, and that's why I'm making it known that they are on there.
Okay, could
online.
You tell me what it says?
I have it in front of me here.
Okay.
It's the first time I've seen it, by the way. Okay.
I
miscellaneous supplies for sewer plant, drain bucket with lock ring, drain
no,
sack.
No, that's a different invoice.
This is Blue Book.
Well, in order to expedite things here, we can ask tomorrow. We can get the information for you tomorrow from Anna DeBevic.
Well, I'd like some two pieces of information. One piece of information is, what Blue Book are you using? Are you using the contractor's Blue Book?
I believe it's the same Blue Book that they've used for many years, but I could not tell you exactly which Blue
Book
it is.
I'll bring you a copy of the Blue
Book. We can have an answer for you tomorrow.
Okay. Edmonds Associates Tax and Water Sewer Software, $8,500. What did we do?
That's on 1127, the first page.
Edmonds,
yeah.
1127.
Yeah.
Edmonds is the software that the council decided last year to use to facilitate tax billing and credit card receipts online.
Are you changing the way you collect the taxes and the water sewer?
That was
bills?
Decided November council meeting last year, I believe.
And so that required that you set up a whole new computer system for both of those?
It required modifying the computer system so there would be virtual terminals at both ends, the end here where the taxes are on the server and the end where Sam and George and those guys can just...
I don't know those guys, but that's okay.
George
it's
Lang
George
is the
Lang,
CFO.
Our CFO
yeah. Sam is the... Sal is the tax collector.
Okay. And this... All this equipment's going to be here in the Borough Hall, or is it going to be at their office?
I think there will be a virtual machine, which is like computer software. It's software.
Me, Joe. I'm not familiar with virtual, real, etc. So if you could... Yeah, a little more specific.
It's just software.
It's software that has to be set up on the computer of the tax assessor, but the tax collector, so that he can have everything work smoothly back and forth.
Okay, so this is to set up a new system for tax collection.
And payment of bills.
Payment of bills. Water, sewer bills.
Online.
Tax bills. Online. Yeah.
Well, everything's online.
But up until now, we haven't had the capability of paying your bills online.
Okay. Geiger. Impeller kit for the water plant, $678. Also, Mr. Souse, I believe, is included in that somewhere down the line for $700. So the total cost is about $1,400.
There's two pumps that draw the water out of well number 3 or well number 4. One of those pumps must be operating all the time. The spare pump, pump B, as I believe they call it, had a bad impeller on it. This was known last year. We've been waiting to replace that, and that got replaced as well as the impeller on pump number 1. I've got pictures of them as they came out, and, they
so
needed to be replaced. This is preventative
so
and routine maintenance.
So... This is a bill for two pumps, not just one pump.
Right. Since they repaired one, which needed to be repaired because it was only pushing about 65% of the water through
I'm trying to figure out. I read this. It's one pump.
This was two pumps. The impellers got replaced on both pumps.
Okay. Mr. Karasik's bill, is that for the month, or is that a regular... payment per month?
Yes.
For services?
Yes.
That's all I want to know there. Mr. Souse, we paid him $2,151 for work at the sewer plant, in addition to the impeller, the auger, etc.
I have all those bills right here. I'm not going to sign them until tomorrow.
Okay. Well, do we think that after we spent all this money... $10,000, that we are going to have a fully operating sewer plant?
We have an operating sewer plant now. We're trying to do all the maintenance that has not been done for all these years. So as I come into this, I'm seeing everything that needs to be done, and I'm relying on Toby to tell me what hasn't and what needs to be done. There will be additional expenses coming in next year. The sodium hydroxide, not sodium hydroxide, the aluminum hydrate tanks are falling apart, just like the other tanks got replaced last month, 2 months ago, and that has been online for the past 6 or 8 months also, that they were going to get changed. So there are large 600-gallon chemical tanks. Two of those need to be replaced, and their mountings need to be replaced, and I think we can wait until next year for those. That's going to be a $14,000 or so tab there. The lines going back and forth from those tanks to the sewer plant itself, those have to be replaced. The stairs have to be replaced. They're crumbling over there. And again, there are things that just have not been done for many,
many
years.
And we know that.
So we're slowly trying to nibble away at them.
And here's another one from Blue Book for supplies to the sewer plant. Now, this Blue Book must have a very big warehouse for something. I don't know.
I don't know. Which number is that one?
This is 17-00863, page 2.
Yeah, well, that's the one that's miscellaneous supplies for the sewer plant, which we mentioned before, which we can ask Anna for a more detailed response to what this is for.
863 is the one
I'm also very interested in finding out who Blue Book is.
Yeah, we noted that. We'll find out for sure.
Moving right along.
Okay. These look like normal routine supplies, sir, like, you know, that you go through.
Well, something called Blue Book sort of raises my interest. Resolution.
Sir, we may have an answer for you.
The Blue Book is this book the state has, the New Jersey Department of Treasury, and it's a book which you can order out of without having to bid.
Thank you.
Basically, it's a list of contractors and parts and whatnot.
Okay. They're appointing 2 part-time public works employees, and the duties are?
Everything that's entailed in a public works position. Do you want to expound on that, Mike?
Well, we had an ad that ran in the League of Municipalities publication and also in the newspaper and in town, mm-hmm. and it gave a full job description. And, basically it is everything that's needed to make sure that the streets and roads, municipal buildings are properly maintained, the whole nine yards. And in this town, it's quite a few things because we have we don't have that many employees, and so public works employees really get to do a lot of different functions, including snow plowing, things as simple as replacing an air conditioner filter.
May I jump in just for a second? May I speak?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Bert, I just wanted to let you know I'm on the Public Works Committee, and I can add that it was my first experience with this process, and Nick Murray handled it and supported the Public Works Committee very well and helped investigating and talking to other towns, Mike, me, but mainly Nick. Did a lot of investigating and talking to other municipalities to get the right description that would get the appropriate person for the position. And as Mike said, that was posted online. That was publicly posted. So I'm sure we can get a copy of the job description that details everything.
Well, I read and I recall reading the description, which was it was fairly loose.
Well, it's for posting purposes, so you can't get into great detail.
So
it was in the interviews that they discussed the other things.
There are 2 people. Mm-hmm. Both of them have the same qualifications?
No, they have different qualifications, but they're both qualified to do this particular job.
Which is? everything.
Public Works employee. Pretty much it's a jack of all trades, but they have to be familiar with properly utilizing power equipment and safety. They have to be aware of all the safety regulations and proper use of equipment, building maintenance.
Okay. Are they certified in anything?
Yeah, Greg Pasile has various certifications, which I don't know if we can get into a lot of discussion about particular employees, but they do have certifications, they do have licenses. He is our part-time operator at the sewer treatment plant every other weekend. Okay, they do have certifications.
So they work in the water plant and the sewer plant as well as the roads, the buildings.
No, that's a separate job. Okay. It's not included under Public Works.
Okay.
I mean, as you know, this is a position that we've had in the borough for a very long time. We've had this position in the borough for a very long time. Works person.
Yeah, I know. I'm just wondering. We didn't have two Public Works employees.
And the thinking behind that is that sometimes there are jobs that really you would benefit from having two people. For safety reasons, something's too heavy.
No, I believe that.
Yeah, and that's why we were looking for two part-timers.
And with these two Public Works employees, what is the increase in the borough's expenditures for those two employees as opposed to the previous single employee?
Well, it depends on how they're managed. They're both part-timers. I think it's up to
25 hours a week.
24 hours or less per week.
Neither employee can work more than 24 hours a week.
Okay.
We're going to vary it. Some times of the year there's more to do than other times, so we're going to regulate that.
Okay, so they don't have a regular schedule is what you're saying.
Not yet, because they actually aren't on board yet, but that'll be established.
So that they'll have a description of their work and
absolutely.
Times they're supposed to be in places, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one, there's a letter here from Bob Cragen, which I thought found very interesting. But the most interesting part I found about it is why were these names blacked out?
Because
redacted emails.
Yeah, why are they redacted? They're all members of the council.
No, I thought it was other people that were on there.
No, you can sort of look through and you can see.
Maybe it was emails before we have our proper email addresses at Roosevelt US. I don't know.
Could be. I have to look at it again.
It's rather strange.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to comment on the agenda? Mr. Connors?
Mark Connors, 23 North Rochdale. I do have a question about one bill that just keeps reoccurring every month, and I don't get it. You got a trailer sitting out here that you pay $409 a month for, which you've been paying for years. I could have bought three of them. Could somebody call them and say, gee, when are we going to own this thing? Or are you just going to keep paying them a perpetual $409?
You
probably bought that thing twice.
Neither. We'd like to get rid of it.
But you've probably bought it twice.
We'd like to get rid of it. It's full of records that were dumped in there.
I get that. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I'm listening very well. I'm trying to answer your question.
Listen to what I'm saying, okay? The borough has paid probably $10,000 better for that trailer already. Well, yeah, Mike, if you add $409 times 2 or 3 years, it's $409.
I'm listening.
It's math.
Go ahead.
Okay? Sooner or later, there should be a break-even point where you say to the company, hey, how are we going to own this thing? Then you sell it and make money. Stop giving money away. You don't have. This is giving money away you don't have. $409 doesn't sound like a lot until you add it up. And add it up, and add it up, and add it up. We need to start looking at things and saying, what are we doing?
It was never our intention to give any money away. This was something that was ordered by the previous administration to store records, and we have, in fact, actually been discussing the next step to take to not have that monthly fee for the trailers. So whether that's getting rid of the trailers completely and finding someone else somewhere else to store the records, or buying trailers. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but it has been under discussion. We are aware that we pay that.
Do you have a contract?
Month.
There's a contract for rental of this thing, correct?
Yeah.
Is there a line anywhere in this contract that says if you pay X number of months, you own it?
No.
We were not involved in.
Not that I could say. I read the contract.
Well, that's what I'm asking, because I've never seen it. I don't know. I don't need to see
it. I haven't seen it. And
maybe we need to call
that. That implies we're interested in owning that trailer, and I don't think we are. I think we're interested in clearing it out and having those parking spaces available to the public. So on nights like tonight, people can have parking spaces.
I agree with that.
I think once we have a public works department, we can take the stuff out of there. I've done a lot around here this past couple of months, and I can't just go around lifting stuff like that. So
no,
we
I'm not
do
telling
need,
you.
We need people. We need to hire people to do things like clear that trailer out,
but
so we can get rid of
you
it.
You people don't have to lift the stuff. I appreciate what you've done, Joe, and
we need a public works department to do that.
But what you do need to do is know what the contracts are doing and call them and say, hey, can we modify this so that we can figure out how this is going to work to the benefit of Roseville, not to the benefit of whatever name of that company is.
Right.
Because that's what we're doing right now. We're benefiting them, not Roseville.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to look at all your contracts for that. Okay? Not just... To me, this is just walking outside, lighting a match, and burning money.
Well, there is a purpose to it. The records are stored there.
There absolutely is. However, I negotiate a lot of contracts in my life for things like that. And I always made sure there's a break-even point in the contract. That if we were going to keep it, it was going to cost me $5,000 to buy it. And I got to the point where I was going to pay you $5,000. Guess what? Because then I could turn around and sell it for $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called recouping your money,
yeah.
Not giving it away.
Right. Yep. Good ideas. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to comment on the agenda?
Good evening, everyone. So I see that... thank you. Stacy Bonas, 17 Homestead Lane. The resolution 17-126 and 127 for the part-time public works people, their certifications entitle them to such an increase?
I don't understand what you mean by such an increase.
They're getting paid quite a bit more than our previous public works person.
Well, it's not their certifications, their qualifications. These are experienced people who have done this kind of work and more, also can repair equipment, can repair borough equipment, including trucks, lifts, hydraulics. They can repair small motors. So they can save us a lot of money. And I think it would be penny-wise and pound-foolish not to hire people who can do the whole job and more. And so we're looking for not just someone who can kind of do the job. We want somebody who could do the whole nine yards. And guess what? You got to pay for that. And $25 an hour these days, it's not a hell of a lot of money for people who are very well qualified and are good at what they do. And that's what we want. We want the best possible people for public works. It hasn't been attended to in quite some time, in the right way. There's a lot of repairs that need to be done. That's what we're doing here.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I'll close the public portion right now. Okay, we move to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion for the minutes of October 11th, 2017?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, minutes are moved from October 11th. Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of October 23rd, 2017?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are moved and approved. Under correspondence, we have an email from Robert Cragen dated October 23rd, 2017. I think, as we mentioned before, that email is available for anyone to read. It's in the inner office, right, Kathleen?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's in the packet also.
Yeah,
right. It's in the packet. So. Since Mr. Cragen isn't here, I don't think we have a further need to discuss it.
I'd like to offer Resolution 17-122, payment of bills.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yeah. We have discussion?
No.
I'm just noting that we have still have, I'm not sure how to deal with this, but we still have where we're paying Verizon Fios $144.99 on page 2 of the, for internet at Borough Hall, on page 2 of the 11-13-17 bill list, and then the 11-27 bill list. We're paying Comcast. It's on page 1, Comcast, Internet Borough Hall, $134.85. And I guess I'm inquiring how we can eliminate one of them, what the process is, if anyone knows.
Okay. I'm looking into that now myself. As I understand it, the water plant has a telephone line, a hard line. The sewer plant, or it's one or the other. The sewer plant has Comcast, the telephone. They have an internet connection at the sewer plant. They have an internet connection at the water plant. We have our own separate internet connections here in Borough Hall.
I understand that. I'm talking about the two for Borough Hall, not water. We're paying separately
Comcast,
sewer. We're paying Comcast, it says, for Borough Hall. And we're paying, so the same one, we have two internet providers. I guess I'm wondering who has the authority, maybe the attorney knows, who has the authority to terminate one of them?
I would like to get the Verizon representative here to tell us what we have, to tell you the truth.
Well, we have the bill for, I'm talking about the bill.
I understand, and maybe
but
one
it
of
is
those
a question. I don't know if the administration committee has the authority to terminate one of those, or the clerk has the authority. How does that happen?
And we have to make sure that they're completely independent of each other, that we're not receiving different services.
That would
from
be my question.
One.
If you terminate one or the other, which makes sense, what connections might you be terminating?
Right.
So I would like to have them come in and take a look at it, but I think that needs to be done because it's ridiculous to pay for.
But they won't be able to tell us what Comcast has.
No, but Comcast will be able to tell us what's hooked up to it.
Well, I guess I'm asking more of the process.
With respect to the authority, the appropriate committee, assuming they made a decision to terminate this contract, would instruct the treasurer, I guess, Anna DeBevitt, to terminate the contract. And she might contact me if she had a question about the legal procedure, depending on what the contract says.
And
that
I think
would be the procedure.
So which is there a
Public Works, I think, would be the committee.
I thought it would be either administration or finance. I thought it would be administration, but
I don't know.
Perhaps
how you
we could have put an item on. I'll suggest another item on new business, which is that we send it to one of these committees, and to report back at the next meeting. What are these for? I understand after speaking with Anna myself that they were both of these are for Borough Hall Internet, and that they're duplication, but the committee would verify that and then report back. And then do we have to so it could be the committee that could direct the treasurer to terminate one?
Yeah, this point has been brought up before and clarified.
Yeah. And we were still never sure about...
I think it is a matter of moving it forward to committee to do what Joe said. So I think so recommended and should be acted on.
Should we do that at new business or...
I did speak to Anna about this, and she said she was going to eliminate Comcast at the end of this month.
We have to make sure that Comcast isn't being used by the sewer plant as the call-out number.
We
need to find out exactly what lines go where and what they're being used for, or if they're not being used at all, then absolutely get rid of them. But we need to know...
That's a separate issue. The next issue was all of the Verizon bills that are... I'm only now talking about Fios Internet for Borough Hall and Comcast Internet for Borough Hall.
I understand what you're saying. And I see fiber coming in here. I see about 8 telephone lines coming in here. And I don't know that we're using 8 telephone lines.
That's the second point is I wanted to... I'm going, which perhaps that leads into the second point of a committee to review all of the Verizon accounts that we have for phone numbers that I have personally have no idea what most of them are.
I'd say all of the external telecom accounts, we should pile all of those into one, and I would love to be on that committee, and I think if financially you should, and maybe somebody in the audience who's an IT professional or something, and... But we should, I agree, we should have a committee to look into that because there's way too many lines coming in here, and where do they go, and where do they come from? I really want to know myself.
Don't we have a committee that can act on this right now and just do that?
I think committees in this town were formed before there was ever an IT. Okay, so there was never a need for IT in this town
absolutely correct.
Before
yeah.
now. So that's there was correct. Never a reason for a committee to look into... I mean, a telephone line was a telephone line 20 years ago. Now it's completely different. All bets are off.
I don't think it has to be that complicated. I give one of the committees the charge, and then you can invite, like you said,
or we can put together an ad hoc committee right now, maybe one from someone from Public Works, someone from Administration, and someone from Finance.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think an ad hoc committee would be best. I know Joe knows a lot about these kinds of things.
I don't know about wires.
I'd like to see that happen, too.
So do we do that now, or will we wait for new business?
And part of the process, what do we do?
Ira, can we do that now or wait for new business?
You know, I hate to stand on ceremony. I think you should do it now. Instead. Okay. Now's when you're talking about it. Now's when you should do it.
All right, so can I have Maureen from Administration, Joe from Public Works, and...
From Utilities.
From Utilities, okay. And
Mike from Public Works.
I'll be on.
And Mike.
You want to be
from
on?
From Public Works, yeah, because it's involving connections and municipal buildings.
Okay, so we have an ad hoc committee now to... So investigate the Verizon Comcast.
So you want to make that?
I'll make a motion that we have an ad hoc committee composed of myself, Joe Trammell, and Mike Hamilton, and that we investigate all of the bills from Verizon.
All of the
not
IT.
Not just the bills. Not
all of
just
the
bills,
IT connections.
The
everything. We want to know.
We'll investigate the accounts.
Right.
Do we need them? What are they for?
Yeah. What are they charging us for?
What are they charging us for? And
what services?
It's really not as complicated as you're making it. Really, it isn't.
But that be investigated by this committee and report back at the next meeting.
And you want to, then you're going to be, it's going to be on the bill next month. So, that's if you're trying to get it off the. Yeah. The billing you want to do sooner rather than later.
It might take more than 2 weeks to figure this whole thing out.
We have a motion.
I have a motion to do that.
I'll second that.
Right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
I'll keep it simple.
I just want to say in general that it's good to do this kind of thing and refer things back and run them through the committee because the committees can do a lot of work and do a lot of processing. Investigate, have the different representatives from companies come in, check on this line, that line.
Well, that's the purpose of the committees, right?
Yeah, and then come back to the councils.
And Joe's right, because these committees were set up many, many, many years ago before the digital age.
That's it.
Okay. Okay, we have Resolution 17-123, the renaming of the Roosevelt Woodland Trail to the Ron Philip Roosevelt Woodland Trail.
Wait a second.
I think we're still on bills.
17-122, we never, yeah.
We never did a vote.
We're still on the bills.
Yeah.
And we're, that was.
Never
mind. No, that's the only. Well, I think that covers anything I was going to bring up, but the committee will cover it.
Okay. So, do I have a motion to pay the bills?
We had a motion and a second already, I believe.
Right,
yes.
To a vote.
We're on a vote to pay the bills.
We're on a vote now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yeah.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to move 17-125, a resolution authorizing transfer of appropriations for 2017.
Did you?
Wait a
purposely
skip
123? I'm just curious. Or the other?
Oh, no. I
didn't sponsor.
Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Okay.
You looked at the wrong I'm just page. On the next page.
you flipped too far.
All right. Sorry.
So
well, we just did 17-122, which is the bills for November 13th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, why don't we skip 123 for the moment and do 124 so we continue with the bills? Because 124 is the bills for November 27th.
Okay. I'll offer 17-124.
Okay. Second? For payment of bills for November
27th. Second.
Discussion?
I just want to say we don't really get this pile of bills until we get here. So I would almost like to see these a week or two before I say let's just go ahead and pay it, because I like Bert and a lot of other people, have questions about just pushing these things through. So, I mean, I'll go for tonight and say I'll be with paying the bills, but is there any way we can, and I know Maureen wanted the bills to be online, which I know has got a certain amount of hassle to it, but is there any way we can get the bills a week or two before we have to sign off on them?
You know, do you know that? Kathleen, Anna would really know.
I know, because
could really, you know, respond to that.
A lot of the bills have dates from March, April, May, June, and stuff like that. So just the, you know, I had a business, and I have a hard time.
No, I understand. Believe
that.
Me, I've been.
Joe, I just want to say, as soon as you get a copies of the bills list, and this is. Anybody on the council can do this.
Mm-hmm.
If you are looking at it and you want more detail, circle them. And I have 5 or 6 or 7 bills that I want to see the detail, what goes into that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And just call Anna and ask her to forward you a PDF on.
No, I got you.
Yeah,
but
just do
usually
that.
Don't get the bill list until 2 days, 3 days before the meeting that we're supposed to sign off on the bills.
So you want it before that.
So if it could be a week or so earlier, then I could get my questions answered.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with Joe. I was going to add it to new business as a new matter that's not on the agenda, but I wanted to have a resolution that the bills would be put online for us and anyone to see by the end of the day, the Tuesday. This is my idea, but it could be any time, a certain cutoff date before the meeting that the bills will be voted on.
I'm saying at least a week, just
okay,
to be
so
able to have time.
A week would be fine with me, that it be the prior week, and that would entail, if we did a resolution, which I would like to, if I can move it right now,
okay,
I'll make
well,
this motion.
Let me jump in again, too, because I'm here often enough to see how busy Anna is.
I
think we should hire someone else to scan all these bills in and to answer the phones and to do a lot of the other routine office work.
Yeah, well, that's actually coming up.
That is on new. But in terms of scanning, scanning is not time-consuming. You can put 50 documents in a scanner at the same time.
Yeah, I know I have one that does that.
And all you need to do is push a button.
Actually, Maureen, I've heard that that's not quite accurate.
It's not the easy thing to do.
What's the difficulty?
It takes more time than that.
What is the difficulty in terms of what is it that you hear?
You have to pull staples out. You have to double-sided pieces.
I suggest that they be, obviously, it's common sense to scan them before you staple them to anything else.
Okay. I think we need someone.
Okay, let's hold this discussion off for now. Okay. And
well,
we agree that we should get the bills a week or so before. We agree on that, I believe.
I wholeheartedly agree, but I think the way to get them, I'll make that under new business then.
That's different.
Okay. So we can discuss that with Anna as far as making the bills available a week before the meeting. Okay. We have a vote on Resolution 17-124, payment of bills for November 27th.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
I abstain because I did an OPA request for these bills last week, and I did not get the bills, so I do not know what they were for. I abstain.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, would someone like to offer Resolution 17-123?
I'll offer that.
Okay.
I'll second.
Do I have a second? Okay. Resolution 17-123, renaming of the Roosevelt Woodland Trail to Ron Philip Roosevelt Woodland Trail. Any discussion?
I think this involves Ms. Phillips' husband,
right.
Past husband, so I don't think she should vote on this.
Right, yeah, we had.
No, I already decided.
Yeah.
Oh, right, no,
myself.
I just was.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
But I do.
It's just you have to put on the record. I recuse myself.
I do have a question, though. Is this the was
oh,
this
I thought it was at the vote. Sorry, I recuse myself.
Thanks.
So is it correct that the Roosevelt Environmental Commission, it says here, recommended that it be named the Ron Philip Roosevelt Woodland Trail. Is that correct? Just a point.
Well, I felt that the word Roosevelt should come first just because we are on the county register of places to visit and especially spending the day hiking and I thought maybe for a Google search or whatever it would be better if Roosevelt was first so that would come right up. But then there was some concern that didn't read well. The sign itself, Robin, am I correct where Ron's name will go above the sign
I just want to ask. I just recused myself. Can I discuss this?
Oh, can you? Well,
I'm asking Ira.
Well, technically, no.
Oh,
then
okay.
I would refer questions to the representative that we have here who sponsored it. And
okay, so the signs themselves right now say the Roosevelt Woodland Trail,
You should ask Nick to come up to the microphone.
Mark, please.
Okay. Do you want to identify yourself?
Nick Murray, 22 South Rochdale.
So as I understand, Ron's name will go above Roosevelt Woodland Trail.
Yes, that was the idea
right.
That's been talked about.
Which so seems to me, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual name, I thought Roosevelt should possibly come first because if anyone is Googling it to come and hike or visit Roosevelt for the day,
well,
it's semantics, but I just
Googling
thought it might.
I think Roosevelt would still come up in the Roosevelt or the Google search, since it is still part of the name, in my opinion. And that
I just thought for clarification, it might be easier, but think, right?
Council's discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that if you Google it, if you put Roosevelt Trail, it'll probably come up as
mm-hmm.
Ron
Phillip, you mean come up. Okay.
It'll probably still come up just as fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think it's a really great gesture and a real monument to Ron, who was a quiet doer. He would do these things, and I think it's wonderful. It's a wonderful. I go on and on about the trail because I go on it a lot, and I go on it with my 5.5-year-old grandson, and we love it, and there's always things being done, and people are always chipping in, and I think it's a nice monument to to Ron's work on the trail.
Thanks, Nick.
I'd like to offer 17, 1, 2, 3 for a vote. Anyone want to second
I
that?
Thought
I offered it.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I seconded
you
it.
Might
I'm
well.
Sorry.
Second,
yeah, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
So, vote? Is it a roll call vote?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
Would someone like to offer 17-125?
Yeah, I'm going to offer that again. Sorry, I went out of order before. 17-125, resolution authorizing transfer of appropriations for 2017.
I'll second that.
And just for explanation, this time of the year we often do budget transfers from one line to one or several other ones just to help balance the book. Sometimes there's a surplus in one line and we want a little more money in another line. And so that's all that is $4,000 from the streets and roads line and to two other lines, tax assessor and other expenses, and data processing.
I just wondered, though, what wouldn't we know what we in advance of what the tax assessor gets? That we wouldn't need an emergency transfer?
It's not to pay the tax assessor.
Yeah.
I think it's for other expenses.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot of time put into this virtual terminal for the tax collector, you know, or for the assessor or for the collector.
This says for the assessor and data processing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it all has to do with that new system that they want to put in so we can pay online and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's apparently pretty involved for everybody.
It's very standard practice in most municipalities in the last month of the year to move money around because you're not allowed to have a deficit on a line. Mm. So if one of your lines is overspent, you pull money from one of your lines that isn't and you fill it in. So most municipalities have a meeting like between this Christmas and New Year's when they do this final juggle.
Does the council generally know why it's being done? Or I would like to know why.
Well, it's usually not that dramatic. It's just, you know, when you make the budget at the beginning of the year, well, actually budgets end up being made third way into the year, you never quite get all the lines right or you know, and they're always changing a little bit. So you're just fixing it. I mean, if there's been a dramatic thing like a $50,000 or something on a line, then usually there's an explanation. There was a major catastrophe or breakdown or something. But generally speaking, these are not
significant.
See, exactly. And if they are, you would know about it.
Thank you.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, 17-125 passes.
I'd like to offer resolution 17-126, a resolution appointing part-time public works employee Gregory Defoe.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion?
You made this appointment.
I have some questions as to both of these, and this one and the next one, 127. What is the supervision that's envisioned? I'm talking about in terms of hours, day to day. Who would be doing that supervision?
Well, that needs to be established because I don't believe that we have anything in policy who supervises those people. For now, it would probably be the chair of the public works and the public works committee. Mm-hmm. So the public works committee might meet and say, we want the employees to have these hours. These are the tasks we want them to do. But I think all of that really should be worked out in the administration committee as to how exactly we want to do that. I think it's a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
who they report to, how they are directed, all of those factors need to be worked on.
Do we have any time clocks in town anywhere? Do you want to go that far with it to punch in, punch out, or what?
Yeah, we do. We do have a time clock. I think it's at the sewer treatment plant, and it is used. So you could work on that, but we do need a method for them clocking in.
Accountability. Yeah.
Right. That's. I mean, even if. Okay, let's say we do have an employee handbook also. Let's say we did have very detailed, some kind of very detailed ordinance on it. Somebody still has to do day-to-day supervision.
That's right.
The person has to do that. And that's something I've observed. Generally, we don't have any supervision of any employees as far as I can see here.
How has it have been done in the past?
Hasn't. To be truthful, it hasn't. There hasn't been any.
There's no formal process at all.
And that is the issue of that there isn't any supervision, and I'll just be frank about the bills. I've been very disturbed. Wanted to review the bills since September, and let's put it this way. The only way I was able to get the bills to review the actual bills is by doing an Open Public Records Act request. And the law does require that they be provided immediately when such a request is filed. And that's I think supervision of employees is crucial and lacking here.
As I understand it, Kathleen is the only one that can deal with the OPRA request.
Can you have an administration meeting and discuss this? I think it's terribly important. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in administration. I think this is just touching on some of it.
Because Kathleen is part-time and Anna's doing her thing.
Yes, I will absolutely have one. I would like the third place on administration filled, too.
Sure.
And that's something that hasn't. I understand reorganization, but in the meantime, we have Deirdre Sheehan on, and she's not on any committees yet.
Well, we were going to address that later under new business.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it. Oh, I think because it's not on there, and we do need all the. I think we need all the help we can get on that. So that, like I said, I'm sure these employees will be terrific people, but everybody needs to have someone telling them when to do what.
So can we refer that to administration and work on it soon? Because I don't want them out in the field supervising themselves.
Sure. I plan to have administration meetings. I'm thinking every Monday, the first Monday of every month at 7:30. That is what I'm envisioning, because I'm assuming that people here don't have a Monday commitment because of the council meetings.
If you're planning on establishing the structure, you probably would have to need a few extra meetings prior to these new hires coming on, if you want to have something in place.
Right.
Supervisory structure.
We try to do it even before that, but that would be next Monday, wouldn't it?
Well, anybody that's anybody who's hired is technically under the supervision of the mayor. So you do have a supervisor, at least until this process has been established. Mm-hmm. The mayor would be the executive authority who would have that. I understand that it might be more practical to delegate it to committees and things, but at least you have somebody there now who is in that role. So if they're starting to work, at least have some, there's a supervisory trail.
There are things that need to be done before the whole thing is formalized. So, even if myself or Mike or Deidre or somebody sits there and looks over their shoulders, there are things that need to be done, i.e. cleaning out the trailer and stuff like that. Things just really need to be done here.
I agree. Yeah. And this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it. Would the public works person be cleaning Borough Hall, or is that going to be?
They would be doing some cleaning, some arranging.
Taking the trash out, recyclables.
When we arrange the tables.
Setting up the sound system, putting the chairs out there, stuff like that.
Cleaning the bathroom.
I don't know about that.
They're aware that there are some duties as far as maintenance of the building, and they're aware. I told them, do you have any objection to doing those things? And I did mention cleaning bathroom, kitchen, you know, setting up for meetings, breaking down things, and they said, both of them said, no, they have no objection to it.
Okay. So would that negate the need for a cleaning service?
Yeah, because we had discussed that at one meeting about the idea.
Yeah, because we were discussing cleaning services.
Yeah. It's not a hell of a lot of cleaning. There's one small bathroom, and you need to empty it, and you need to empty out a waste bin. And clean a toilet and make sure the floor is clean.
This could be discussed in the administration committee meeting, right?
Yeah.
Those details.
Yeah.
All right.
I had one more comment on this resolution.
Sure.
The administrative code actually says that it's the mayor's duty or the mayor's responsibility or the mayor's authority to appoint all employees of the borough. The mayor shall nominate with the advice of consent and consent of the council, appoint all non-elected officials, employees, and members of boards and commissions. So this is an extraordinary meeting. The mayor was just seated tonight. This resolution was on the agenda. I just wanted it clear on the record that the mayor does, in fact, nominate these people, assuming that you will do that, and the council's vote is in advising and consenting to that nomination. That would make the procedure correct under the code.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So should we change this resolution to that effect, or should we revise it to say?
Well, we can if the council votes on that basis, we can revise the resolution afterwards.
Okay.
So any other discussion?
And Mayor, that's correct, right? What I
said. That I'm the boss?
No, that you nominate these people.
It is. I did. So, any other discussion on 126? Can I have a vote?
Yeah. Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Perry?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I'll offer 17-127, resolution appointing part-time public works employee Greg Posile.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
A question, which is, what is the? Does anyone know what the rate is that Mr. Posile is paid as for his work as the water sewer part-time person?
A water sewer?
I
don't have that on me right now.
Is it, if it's the same rate, or?
I actually think it's a little higher than this, and we max out on this.
I think he has a license lower for that sewer also.
I think it's a little higher, maybe close to $30 an hour or something like that.
So. Sounds familiar. I wouldn't swear to it, but it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
Ready for a vote?
Yes.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I just wanted to add that both of these employees, and I think moving forward, all new borough employees have to have background checks, or at least we want them to, and that does not exclude these two employees. They have to pass background checks and also motor vehicle abstract, and we're also looking at other checks, too, for employees. And I think it's a good idea to do that to protect the borough.
Yet we currently don't have an ordinance that requires that, right, on all employees?
There isn't an ordinance that requires it, no, but the administration committee or the council as a whole can, by resolution or just by practice, decide to do it. So you
Thank
don't
you.
Need the only benefit of an ordinance would lock the procedure in.
Gotcha.
But you can still do it without an ordinance.
Thank you.
Okay, we come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Michael Hamilton, Public Works.
There was a lot of discussion on Public Works already on the agenda, but I think we had six applications that we received for the Public Works positions. The interview committee interviewed three candidates for the part-time positions, and the offer was made and accepted initially by the two candidates, the ones mentioned on the agenda. We also met and had a good meeting, I thought, with the Monmouth County Roads Department. We had three employees there, including the director of the Monmouth County Roads Department.
Supervisor.
Supervisor, yeah. And two longtime employees. Monmouth County does a really great job. Anybody, if you're riding down 571 after a snowstorm, you can easily see, heading into Hightstown, where Monmouth County ends and Mercer County begins. Because Monmouth County roads are usually plowed very, very well. They're salted. They're brined. They're usually, they do a first-rate job. And Mercer, unfortunately, not as good, and you can see some icing. But we have an existing contract, a shared services contract with the county. And if you don't know about shared services contracts, this type of shared services contract is at cost. Whatever it costs Monmouth County to plow and salt and brine, that's what they charge, what they would charge us in terms of a shared services agreement. So we have a rate schedule from them for the cost of brining and salting our roads after snowstorms. And we met with them and we talked, I guess, for quite some time. It was about an hour, maybe even more, asking them questions about what they do. And the whole idea of what we're trying to do is come with a program that's cost-effective and that's responsive in terms of roads, and not only roads but also public facilities, and making sure that they're clear of ice and snow during a storm. The problem, Monmouth County roads can do a really great job of salting and brining. It takes about an hour and a half to salt and brine all of the roads in Roosevelt, and that's it. They'll come out with a whole crew, and they'll do it. I think one of my recommendations would be to have them do it when they ordinarily do the roads.
Yeah, I don't think it was an hour and a half it would take them to do Roosevelt. We're talking like 8 miles, 6 miles of roads here. But while they're doing their normal routine, they would swing through here.
Right.
Well, they said it would take an hour and a half to salt and brine all of our roads in town.
An hour and a half?
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. What they were kind of guessing as an estimate, between an hour and a half.
But
that's,
again,
that's
Mike,
for double. Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that because it's the county, there's no profit involved. From when a private company did it, they were making a profit. But if we use the county, there's no profit involved.
Well, I'll give you an idea of that. From Monmouth County to brine our roads, and often if you brine ahead of a storm, you kind of get a jump on it, and it's good for wet snowstorms. It's not so good when you have really cold conditions and you have a snowstorm. But it would cost about $128, $129 to brine all of the roads in Roosevelt. To apply salt, it would cost around $530 to all of the roads in Roosevelt, too. So the total cost is a lot less than what we were paying. Let's put it that way. Total cost to brine and salt all of our roads, if you go with the maximum an hour and a half, is $660. In the past, we paid a contractor $850. So it's a couple hundred dollars in savings every time the roads need to be brined and salted. And they also can salt after our employees or any contractor that we have plows the actual snow off the roads. You'll call them, they come back in, they'll resalt the roads again, which means everything will be done and it'll be done quickly. The problem with using them for plowing is they have a responsibility to do all the county roads first. And I don't think you want to be waiting hours for them to finish all the county roads before they come here. So we have Antonio Solaris, who has the maintenance of public grounds contract with the borough. We're negotiating. I received some cost estimates from him for plowing the roads. So we're looking at piecing together something that's very comprehensive. We also met with Toby Moore during our conversation about how to keep the roads clear. And he has specific needs for the plants and areas that he needs to have access to during a snowstorm. Also, they will do, Antonio Solaris, their team will do shoveling, and they'll actually get out there with work crews, shovel walkways, clear the entrance ways and all of the bay doors for the emergency services building. They'll get out there and really do the whole job. And they charge per inch of snowfall, or every 2 inches. So they have a rate chart that they came up with. I'm not happy with everything that I see with that. But again, I just got that before the meeting. So that's something that has to be negotiated and worked on with them, and I also perhaps get some other bids or quotes on that. We would like to use the Monmouth County Roads Department to do the salting and brining before and after storms, and I think they would serve us well. These guys have done this for, those guys are there for 20, 30 years, and they seem to really know what they're doing. Monmouth County is a very rich county. They have very good equipment. They don't mind spending it on the equipment. They have adequate supplies. And again, they do a good job from what I've seen on the road. So I think it's a good idea to use them for brining and salting, but because they can't be there right away to do the actual plowing, I think we'll have to look at a combination of a contractor for that and also our new public works employees, one of whom is a snowplow operator. He's done it before quite often. He knows how to do it, and he knows how to maintain the plow. So we're working on all of those things. So I thought it was a good meeting, and we should be able to have a whole package together within the next week or two.
Yeah, Mike, that was my question. So how would we go about securing the county for the
salt? A simple call. We already have a contract, okay. And I already told, I suggested that Anna may want to contact them about initiating that. And I also wanted the council's input on whether or not we should have to call them to get them to salt or brine, or just let them do it automatically. Because there is a cost associated with the automatic thing. You know, if they determine that they need to do the roads, they'll do it for us, and it'll generate a cost. So I was looking for the council's input on that. Up for discussion.
It's kind of, as we discussed all of this with them, when they know that they're going to go out and do the roads, the county roads, mm-hmm. then they would just jump over here also. As this is kind of the head end of the county, the panhandle, their barn is over on 537 in Cream Ridge, in downtown Cream Ridge, across from the saddle shop over there.
Right.
So this would almost be part of their normal pattern as they're coming down 571 here to just swing through town and then move on out. So
yeah, the gentleman we talked to, they're responsible for this end of the county.
Exactly, but the main road, 571. So
yeah, county roads. Yeah, county roads. So.
They also do some roads in Millstone too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And
not
they
county,
537.
Like we hire Millstone.
Oh, you
hire
them? Oh, okay. So yeah, yeah.
They do Agra, yeah. Millstone,
yeah.
Roads.
Oh, yeah. So they seem to get a kick out of the town and want to do it. Yeah.
So we'll have to get a move on the getting the bids for the snowplow.
Yeah, we're going to have to meet again soon, so I'm going to recommend that we have another committee meeting as soon as possible. And also to talk about how to bring on board the new public works employees. End of report.
Okay. Councilmember Maureen Parrott, administration.
I don't have anything to report. We weren't able to have a meeting with the holidays, and so I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Well, I was finance, planning board rep, and recreation, so I'll just tell you the finance did not have to meet in the last few weeks. Planning board also has not met. They'll be meeting December 5th for the first time in a few months, and recreation this time of year is pretty quiet. So we'll go to Councilmember Joe Trammell, utilities.
Okay. Okay, we have a meeting again with the DEP on the 29th, a couple of days from now, at the sewer plant, and we're going to follow through with our initial meeting a month or so ago, and they're going to let us know their findings as soon as possible beyond that for the water plants and the sewer plants, and then we would share them with the public because we have no idea what they think at this point. You know, we have an inclination, but we don't know. The only other thing would be on the 21st, last Tuesday, I believe, there was a leak in the water pipe at 2 North Valley at Murphy's house across from Solar Village. Toby wound up checking it out. It was between the street and the house. It was close to the street. There was no shutoff valve there. So the homeowner's plumbers came and assessed the situation. They got Toby over there. He worked with them on the situation. They knew they would have to dig it out and repair the leak and put a shutoff valve there. So they came in and did it. So the water for number two and number four and Solar Village was shut off for, I'd say, 3 or 4 hours. The valve was installed. The pipe was replaced. There was low water pressure on a few streets for a while because to get all the air out of the pipes, Toby had to open up a fire hydrant at the bike path at the end of North Valley there. And once that was done and the water was restored to the house, all the hydrants were shut off and everything was back to normal.
And the bubbling on the lawn stopped?
Yeah, the water wasn't bubbling up through the lawn anymore, so it was a done deal there. That's it. So that was exciting. And what I know now is that there are houses in Roosevelt that do not have shutoff valves on them. So if there's any problem in the, I mean, there are shutoff valves inside the houses, but there's nothing from the mains in the street to the house. So it's something we should be aware of and keep an eye on. And on some map somewhere, we should mark all of the houses that do not have shutoff valves. That's an important thing. So that's it for me.
Joe, can I make a suggestion that we need to work on other ways of notifying all homeowners in case of a water emergency? Mm-hmm. This has been an issue in the past where not everybody is connected to the Code Red system.
Right.
And we need to come up with other notification methods so that we can be sure that almost everyone is notified should there be another water emergency. I'd like to see, and I imagine this would be your committee that would work on that, but I'd like to see that.
Well, it's
that was
be
a great concern to the DEP and to the EPA that our system was very flawed.
Yeah, it's going to wind up being public safety, I believe, but our suggestions to the DEP, they took to heart and they liked it. As it is right now, we need, I think it's going to be between Peggy and Anna in terms of the reverse 911. You know, so we need to formalize that. And we should also, and I think we should put a flyer out about this. We should have two or three, four or five.
Drive safely.
Oh, don't worry.
There's that alert. Are you going somewhere, Beth?
Yeah. Okay.
You're there.
Yeah, we should have on every block like 3 to 6 people that we can instantly notify of whatever the emergency is and have flyers printed so that they can distribute them door to door.
Or we discuss like a block party.
Well,
a block tactic.
Yeah, can we come up with some way of doing that? Some committee and actually do that work and come up with recommendations for the council, because I think it's really important.
Yeah, because there are many alternative ways to be, in addition to Code Red, to be able to inform people.
Well, in town
especially
this small,
a lot of these water issues tend, for some reason, to come up in the middle of the night. So,
that's public safety then, right? We don't have a chair right now of public safety.
Yeah.
Right, so.
Mm-hmm. Environmental health and safety, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the committee can still meet even without
the
chair.
Of course,
The two active members can meet.
Okay.
Well, I think.
So we should ask for volunteers in a formal way, and we should also have pre-written kind of pseudo-emergencies that we can have printed out and just drive around. Somebody could drive around and drop them off at these people's houses so that they can do the walk door to door, and drop them off.
Mm-hmm. So public safety right now is you and me, right, Peggy?
Well, actually, no, because I can't
you're
be
mayor.
On the committee. Right.
It's me.
Yeah, it's you. I was...
I'll work on it.
Yeah. It's you, Robin.
I'll call a meeting with myself.
Right. Good idea.
Well, I think
anytime you want.
If there's vacancies on a committee, other council members can join in.
Yeah,
as long
yeah
as
it's not so set in stone and inflexible.
I'll
that, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So actually, I was going to. Oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
That's it for me.
Okay. So as a member of environmental, is there anything that you wanted to report on, Robin, before you get to your own community development?
As a member of what?
The environmental health. Weren't you on environmental health and safety?
I was. Thank you.
R?
Oh, it's environmental health and safety?
Yes, that's the real name.
The names are too long.
I know.
We just have to, let's stick to one.
Yeah, that's.
I don't even know what committee I'm on. I was not at the last environmental committee meeting. So,
okay.
And we haven't had a meeting. Nick, did you want to add something? Because you're.
No. Okay, so now, Robin.
Okay.
As chair of community development code and senior rep.
Too long.
Well, that's because everyone doubles and triples up.
I know. Okay. So our community development, et cetera, committee actually followed up on recommendation that came out of our first meeting in September to follow up on the obvious community development needs. That was very clear from the public and from just talking around town. Not having a deli in town, and also looking into what's happening with the gas station as the in a redevelopment zone. So I could report on meeting the committee members, including Councilman Trammell and Councilwoman Parrott and myself met with the Gades, the owners of the deli property and an apartment. And we met on Thursday, October 26th. And the meeting goal was information gathering only, to come back and make some suggestions if we find any recommendations for moving this forward so we could finally possibly have a deli. So the meeting went very well. The Gades took us through the deli, which is all ready to go, and we also found out before we went to the meeting, speaking to our borough clerk and our code enforcement officer, that the deli and the Gades had gotten a certificate of occupancy and also had their food license. So they were already, and the property was already to lease and have someone start a business there. The problem was twofold. One, first and foremost, was the Gades originally had purchased the package liquor license for $50,000 a number of years ago. I'm sorry I don't have the year, but it seems like it's quite a number of years ago.
It was quite a long time ago.
Yeah. And apparently that there is a standing statute or law that if the license is purchased but not activated or utilized, it then returns back to the borough, the originator of the license, which is what happened. Then the Gades had this situation of finding people interested in opening the starting a business there, but not wanting to because they wanted the revenue that would come from having that packaged liquor license. And many people didn't think it was viable without that. So where we were, we understood the building and everything was ready to go. The challenges they were having was not having the liquor license.
Did they say why they allowed it to be dormant for so long? I mean, it wasn't.
No, it seemed like we were going there to find out what's happening right now and not rehash the past, just to get enough information to see where we are now. So we didn't go into that.
Because there was ample opportunity for them to retain the license, and they, you know, there just was no interest shown.
Well, right now, I can only report on the meeting we had with them on this date, mm-hmm. and what we found were they were very enthusiastic about looking back into this whole process, because since that they lost the liquor license, and it went back into ownership by the, if that's the right word, by the borough. The borough did issue package liquor license out for bid again, but with triple the price, $150,000, and there were no takers. And the Gades weren't interested in either at that level. So what in from our meeting that we had, they stated that they would be interested in revisiting and purchasing the liquor license again, but not for $150,000. And so I guess it would be a negotiating conversation. I don't know the correct protocol. I'm just reporting the information. So it sounds like they have someone who, if they have the liquor license, they're ready, willing, and able to start a deli, to start a business. They have, for sure, because
we have been told that many times. As a matter of fact, they were supposed to have opened 100% on April 16th. They said it was ready to go.
I could just report information from our citizens.
I understand, I'm just putting out
and
there.
And that's what we're delivering today to the council, meaning, you know, my fellow committee members who were at the meeting. The other point, that's really the most important point, I know, to get the deli going. The other point was they also had challenges because of the, I don't know if everybody knows about the covenant that's part of the deed. Apparently, and I didn't have the complete history, but I forgot to get a copy of the deed. I'm sorry. Maureen found it, the deed for the that property. I believe it was 1984. The Rossies, who owned that property at the time, sought to build an apartment for a family member, and that's why that back apartment was built. And because it's zoned commercial, they went through all of the processes with the Board of Adjustment and the Planning Board and the Council to get what they call a covenant. It's a restriction, a deed restriction, so that because it's zoned commercial and they wanted to have a residence there, the folks at that time, the officials at that time, said that they could build it, but only a family member or somebody who was working full-time at the deli could live there. It couldn't just be a rental unit. And that might have been, it seems like that might work perfectly with having that family who initiated it because they knew they wanted family members or they could have someone full-time. That's also been problematic for not only the Gaudets, but anybody that they find interested in leasing the store because they'd like to get the rent, you know, income from the apartment as well. They can't find anybody who also wants to run the business and also live there. Also, the idea of having a full-time employee who also lives there, the problem is, well, what if they get fired? What if they quit? They get another job? Then you would have this turnover, and it would be a headache for the landlord. So we just listened to all that and noted that. And then when we went through the apartment, which is all ready to rent, just as soon as they would get someone to occupy it, they would have to get a CO from the borough, which is just, you know, standard practice. But looking through the apartment, which I'd never been in before, it's this large space with windows and big walls and everything. And me being from my nonprofit arts background and I was like, wow, this is great for art. So I just put it out there as hypothetical and a concept. Along with Joe and Maureen, who are right on board with the concept. Would the Gaudets consider having a nonprofit group such as the Roosevelt Arts Project lease that space as an artist cooperative and just describe the concept to them, which would not be residential. It would be a gallery space, could be workshops. It's all conceptual, but it's all a possible idea. And the Gaudets were open to that idea. So when it comes to the apartment, I'm putting out, this is what our recommendations are from the meeting, is the committee members, based on the information gathered and the response from the Gaudets, recommends that the council, one, revisit the cost of the packaged liquor license following appropriate protocol with the Gaudets. Because if they do have someone who will start the business, but a sticking point is having the liquor license, we just think that should be looked into. And then determine that if the apartment space is not used as a residence, but rather as a community art space and resource leased to a nonprofit organization, that would be within the bounds of the zoning ordinance. That's more of a question. What is the answer to this? And I'm just putting it out for discussion now. And
recommendations from the council.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Okay, I just have a question about you know, the disabled entrance. I mean, the only way is up the steps,
yes,
right? The only access to the apartment is up.
That's true.
So
But that's often the case, unfortunately. And there are, with the ADA, there are
exceptions.
There are exceptions, mm-hmm, and there are also other means of providing the same service. And when it comes to that, we know, and I know a lot personally, a lot of people that work in the arts in ADA compliance, so I'm sure we could address that effectively, because mm-hmm, that was the first thing I noticed. It is just a big set of stairs.
Yeah, one big stairway, right.
And
it's
that
wide,
is
wide
a,
stairway.
It is wide, yeah, but it would be,
yeah,
it would, it's not accessible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and so I wonder if it's wide, if it could accommodate one of those chair lifts.
Probably could.
Yeah.
Another thing
that,
is,
I mean, rap would, it would be wonderful for rap to have a space,
yeah,
or
yeah,
any art.
And well, I spoke. Sorry, I'm sorry, Joe.
Okay.
I spoke in, and Joe did too, in purely in
theoretical
hypotheses, yeah, with David Hirstrom, the board president of the of Roosevelt Arts Project, and in concept, he was very excited about the idea. In concept.
Also, on top of that, whether it could be used as a commercial space as opposed to a residential space, because it is in a commercial zone.
Mm-hmm.
So a commercial facility or an organization, a nonprofit organization like the Arts mm-hmm Project. So mm-hmm, so it's, you know, there are
open
things
to
that
examination.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was just wondering what might be a next step, since we've gained this information, and certainly we'd like to get a response or get in touch with the GADE, since they were, you know, very willing and able to discuss and open and, you know, bring us up to date. I just want to know what the possible next steps would be.
I can answer some of your questions. I mean, not tonight.
Okay.
Although I probably
okay
could, but I wouldn't want to shoot from the hip.
Sure.
With respect to what uses the apartment area could be put, and if, you know, what the procedures would be, whether it have to go back to the land use board or not. I could also tell you what the procedure is for selling or, you know, selling the liquor license, which there are two methods, a historical method it's called, and there's open public bidding.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just give it to the people.
Right.
But you have to follow one of these methods. I don't know what the prices are here. I mean, they vary very much from municipality. The last two consumption licenses in Montclair went for $1.5 million each.
Those are consumption licenses.
Not a problem.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking package here. Right?
I know. It's a package license. I
but
do
even
know that.
So.
I'm just,
so
I just wanted to, I just wanted to get your hair stained.
Yeah,
really.
Montclair is richer than Monmouth right County.
Yeah. However, the truth is I don't know what the baseline price is, but it seems like $150,000 is quite a bit in this particular location.
Yeah, that was suggested.
And what was the other process that you said?
Well,
open
there's
public
open
bidding.
Yeah. And there's something called the historical method, when eventually you solicit proposals, and then you select a proposal. You got to be careful because mm-hmm it's called historic because it's typically fraught with favoritism. I'm not suggesting that would be here,
historic,
but it's why they went to open public bidding. But it's still allowed, and it does give you the kind of flexibility you might want to need. You might need. Because you might want to say, okay, you can have a package store here, but you also have to sell deli stuff.
Good coffee.
And that's not
good
always
coffee,
the case.
Coffee.
No, but I mean, you can specify additional requirements.
Is there a way that we can ask to meet with the prospective the people who want to lease the deli?
The Gades, you mean?
Well, no, not the Gades own it,
yeah,
but to meet the people that they claim are ready or, you know, ready to go, ready to rent the deli, because this has come up many times. And
well, that's a Ira question. I mean, can we choose who they can rent
Not to choose, but just to meet them, not to make a decision,
well,
just meet
yeah
them.
Well, you can, you know, if you set out, well, if you go out by the historic method in terms of selling the license, then you can evaluate the people who submit proposals, including meeting them. If you
But the leasees won't be purchasing the...
No, right. I just meant, yeah, not the liquor license, but...
Oh, yeah, there's no reason why you couldn't.
I'm nervous that there's... Yeah, I would like...
Except, you know, you gotta be careful about interfering in their business.
Right. That's why I just said neat.
Yeah.
Just neat to know that someone is really ready to rent the deli.
I think we have to go forward with...
Have it show that you have a contract.
I think that's...
Yeah.
Use the word, at the risk of using the word fraught twice in the same night. I don't think it's a great idea to get involved in their transaction.
Yeah.
It also, down the road, can create liability. Mm-hmm.
I think we have to go forward with trust.
One other time. Was anyone here on the council when a man came who was about to rent the deli? Just came to a council meeting to say hello and meet us. That's all it was.
I heard it. He was going to call it Tammy's place.
Oh, I didn't even hear that. But
what was he going to do upstairs?
I don't know. But he did was come to a council meeting and meet us, and he kind of told us. I asked him if he was going to carry the times, and you know, he just kind of told us about the food. And
that's
just
good. And then the council says, "Thank you, good luck."
Exactly right. That's all it was. But at least, and as it is, he never did open it. But at least we, you know.
Can we explore how the price $50,000 came about and when it came about?
150.
No, the original 50.
Oh, the original.
And who it was bought from? Was it bought from the?
It was bought from the Rossies.
Okay. So that, I mean, can we explore that? And then
see what history there is. There should be because it all would have had to go through the municipality. So there must be records here somewhere. Yeah.
And also when it wound up being bought by the Gotti's, I think it was 2008.
Well, I mean,
I'm
that's
not
easy
sure,
to find out. You know, but I'm wondering because we're at this place in time. we did meet with the Gotti's. They spent time with us. They gave us an update. We have a liquor license that nobody wants. Not for $150,000. We have a person who owns the property that's been dormant for years, which is not community development. It's just stagnation and sad.
Here are some ideas for moving forward.
And you know, I think it behooves us also to honor the Gotti's also as Roosevelt citizens. You know, they don't live outside of time.
Well, I'll get you the information quickly.
Yeah.
Can we?
And then you can use that to help you decide what to do next.
Yeah, that would be.
Can we go just a second, please? Michael, Michael has information about.
Yeah.
Michael, come on. Come up to the microphone, please.
Okay, quite independently of this, I had spoken with. Yeah, Michael takes it. I had spoken with. Mr. Gotti, when we went over there, John Kelhunt and I went over to check some details about compliance with easements, and then we got into discussion about the whole situation with the liquor license. And the bottom line is that he's in a position of a stalemate where he wants to move. He says he doesn't have one particular person. He says he's only got 10 people who he thinks are interested, who he could present it to if once he has a liquor license.
When is this, Mike?
On Sunday.
Oh, very recently.
I just spoke with him on Sunday, right. Okay. I wasn't aware of this other meeting that had taken place. Essentially, he told the same things that he had said. Mm-hmm. But my impression was that he really wants to go forward and that he needs the liquor license. And he has a feeling that he paid $50,000 and that, you know, that the borough should sell it to him at the price that takes into account the fact that he did pay the $50,000. And, that, of course, the $150,000 was far more than he thought the thing was worth. But that he would like to go forward with it. And he also mentioned that... He'd also be interested in discussing the gas station too, of acquiring that and then putting that into some viable use. So the man does have an intention of putting money into the town and investing. It's just something we should all be aware of.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, I have a question for Ira. And this historic method, could we also put something in our whatever somewhere in that. You don't get the license if you don't open it?
Yeah, because...
No, I mean, they buy the license again and not use it.
That's my concern, because this has been going on for at least 8 years or so, and my concern is that it will lie dormant again, that he'll buy the license, and it will...
Well, it's not doing anything right now. It's not even owned by... Nobody wants it.
But when it was wanted, it was dormant. It's been closed for so long.
If we sell the license to him, that means, and let's say someone wants to have that license at the gas station. Well, you can't. What? We only have one license.
I'm sorry. The license is for a location.
They can apply for a place-to-place transfer. And you can either grant it or not. I assume that the council here is the ABC.
We also have a consumption license available.
Yeah, every town gets one.
So you can buy a license. You can buy the license in either of these methods, and just sit on it for.
Well, once you have a license, that issue is regulated by state law. Mm-hmm. State says you can keep it dormant for 2 years, and then if you want to keep it dormant longer, you have to ask for a special ruling, right. And typically they give out special rulings 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, up to some point. Mm-hmm. And if the municipality objects enough, the state will stop giving the special ruling. So
and there's no interest in keeping it dormant. Issue. There's interest in taking action. And I think if we get stuck in the past, we're never going to get past the past.
Well, I don't think we're stuck in the past, but we're just being realistic of what has happened
what's realistic that happened in the past. We're bringing you a current update.
Right. Well, that's what I think. Joe was asking for history, and I'll see, to the extent we have any records of it, I'll provide it.
Well, the history of they paid Gotti. Yeah. They paid Rossi like $50,000. Yeah. I think it was 2008, Michael.
They did not pay Rossi. Rossi's come up.
You have to come up.
Right.
Oh, so the town. Okay, so as I understand it now, Rossi's license lapsed, and the town took it over. The town sold it to Gotti in 2000.
Right. It went back to the Rossi license lapsed because they had not used it for a while. Went back to the town. The town was then able to sell it again and got the $50,000 for it. And then it lapsed. And then it lapsed again. So it's come back to the town. So now the town can sell it again.
And
so
that was around
selling the same thing over and over again.
Now that was around 2008, I think, is when their deed.
Rossi was around there. Yeah.
Well, when Gotti bought it, I think.
About there. Yeah.
2008. Okay, so it's only it hasn't been 10 years since
who
they
owned it, Mike. When it was a succession. Like when the Lees owned it, did they own it? Or
no, they didn't own it.
I'm thinking. Because there was a succession of owners.
I think it was somebody else. There was someone else in between.
Yeah, the Lees.
Yeah. There'll be a record.
There's a record. Yeah, we can check that. Mm-hmm. I'm just emphasizing what Robin said, that we can go back and forth and say, you know, we don't trust them. Nobody else wants the thing. Nobody else has a facility for it.
I'm not
so
saying I don't trust
realistically,
them.
We just it's just a chance that we really should have.
Right.
Everyone
wants the deli to reopen. I mean, that's universal, and it's $50,000. There's just some concern that it would, again, lie dormant.
Well,
we don't have many options.
I've been walking through there ever since. When somebody's in the place and I'm there, I'll walk in and see what it's about. So for the past 2 years, I've watched them, and I used to work in restaurants here and there. I've walked through there, and I've seen them bring the place up to snuff in terms of the equipment for a restaurant and whatnot, and I've seen them get all of the codes right and all the inspections right. And
it's all ready to open. Yeah.
It's basically ready to open. The upstairs is really nice. There's a countertop in the kitchen that needs to be reinforced from what I saw. But it looks like they put money into it, and they've tried to get it to a point that they could do something there. But also he did mention that, you know, we could probably just bulldoze the place and open up like a mini mall here through the planning board if they let him do that, you know. So it's like,
no,
I don't know.
I'm not so sure that's accurate, but.
No, he actually mentioned that a number of years ago, I don't know what the context was, that he did say, if you want and I can get the approval, we can get rid of this old building because it's not historic. And I could put in 4 stores. And at that time, and this is something that I didn't know, I hear all the stories about the Gottis, but I don't hear how involved and interested they are in helping the community. And at the time when he talked about building the 4, like a little mini mall, he said in one it would be businesses, and then one could be devoted to the arts. So those are the things that has never got filtered through to the public about their interest and their commitment.
Oh yeah, they had mentioned they were interested in a nail salon and a Chinese takeout.
But nothing has happened, and I think
I think the council needs to meet our neighbor and landowner and investor in this property. And I mean, that's what I would recommend.
Well, he has not come to the council to ask about reducing the 150, which personally I think $150,000 is kind of outrageous.
Nuts.
But
no, he's ready, willing, and able to discuss this.
One little fact I left out is when you either auction off the license or sell it by the historic method, that the borough is allowed to set a minimum price. Mm-hmm. So.
Set a minimum price.
Okay. So you can say, you know, it's the highest bidder, but no, the first bid has to be at least $50,000, mm-hmm. for example. So you don't have to sell it for $2 if no one else bids.
Now, do liquor licenses, are they associated with the property?
Well, no. When a person buys it, it's the person that's buying it. Then they have to make an application to locate the license at a place. There's a person-to-person transfer or an initial sale, and there's a place-to-place transfer.
Right.
I think maybe when the municipality sells it, you're actually the transaction will include the place.
Right.
But typically, they're separate.
They can move it.
So
right.
Even the person who buys it with that place is allowed to file an application for a place-to-place transfer.
Right.
And whether you grant it or not is another thing. But
would the place-to-place transfer have to be within the borough?
Yeah.
Yes.
And which places are available in the borough to put it?
Well, that's it. And I think, actually, there's some situations where you can go outside the town, but...
That would be a state thing, I think.
Yeah.
There used to be a liquor license at the Hornerstown General Store, which doesn't exist anymore. There's no... You know.
Right,
so
but it's not relevant to your situation.
So I want to get the sense of the council. How do we move this forward? Because I like to move it forward in some way, but in the right way. I don't know what the next step is.
Well, I'm not going to be slow. I'm not going to be tardy about it. I'll get you at least answers to those questions.
Great, thank you.
Because without those, I don't think you need those to proceed.
That's great. Just to know how.
And I'll try to get that within a week. And I'll give you all the information I can, and then you have to, maybe meeting with the guy's a good idea, I don't know.
As a council and public, what do you think?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'd like to, I think you have to make some decisions about the direction you want to go, and then decide whether meeting people is a good idea or not, or, could lead to legal complications.
As far as meeting about the, we have to meet about the liquor license, right?
The council.
We have to come to some process for negotiating the liquor license appropriately.
But that's among yourselves.
We wouldn't be negotiating with the Gades.
No, it's a council decision.
It has to be open either process. It's open to.
Right.
Anybody to apply for it.
All right, so we'll determine the process and have that conversation.
Right.
Okay.
And Ira will get back to us with the process as soon as possible.
Yeah, the information.
Thank you.
So you have.
And then very quickly, because this is important, but it came in recently, and I just want to put it on the record, and say that I'm sorry. Is your Elizabeth Beth or Elsbeth?
Elsbeth.
I am so sorry. Should have known that. Elsbeth Battelle emailed me as chair of the Community Development Committee to bring back up to the surface a process that's been going on for many, many years, which is the land swap, which I just summarize really quickly and basically say that we had a meeting, but really just to see, because I had to learn about it myself and the other committee members, and it was a public meeting, and a number of members of the public attended and had insight into this process. But just to say, I'll report on it a little bit today, but I know that the process is going to be underway, that our attorney, borough attorney, will be getting the full records from this long-term process. From our past borough attorney, who has most of the documents on this land swap deal, and then he's going to advise us. But I just want to say that this is from the summary, it's a piece of property that is on well, actually, could you just come up and explain it really briefly, if you don't mind? Because you know it intimately. Just a summary quickly, and then bring us up to speed, and then you know that we're Ira's going to follow through on it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, you all know that Roosevelt was designed on the Green Belt design, but the common property behind every house, every residence has a common property behind it, with the exception of the houses on the between Valley Road and Spruce Lane, on the north side of Lake Drive. That property belongs to me, 12 and a half acres, and the property extends down to the public property by Solar Village and the meadow there beyond Solar Village. Ralph Seligman in the 1990s came to me and asked if we could get together and have a land swap because the 2 acres along the very front of 571 belonged to the borough. Was bought under Green Acres financing. So he proposed that we do a land swap. I agreed to it. It started then. It's been approved by multiple councils since then, and planning boards and environmental commissions. But it never really got underway, never really got completed. Got underway, and then the ball was dropped, and nobody ever followed through on it. So a few years ago, Bob Clark came, well, it was 3 or 4 years ago now, Bob Clark came up because Green Acres said, oh, okay, you have to remove the fence around the front of the farm because it's Green Acres, it has to be public access. And Bob Clark says, we can't let this happen. And let's get together with Assemblyman Rob Clifton and the Green Acres people and the DEP people and get the swap going again, which we did. And it got to the extent that it's almost finished now. The only thing, as far as I understand, is the borough is required to prove or to have inspected and ascertain that it's not a brownfield, that it's not in need of remediation, or that any remediation has been done. Well, the property's always been in woods, and at least as long as Roosevelt has been in existence. And they... DEP wants the borough to have the person that surveyed the land, which is Carmela Roberts' group. They want a map that shows both pieces of property on the same map. Okay, that's a small thing that Carmela can easily do. The other thing is, I had assessed for the initial investigation of the swap, but appraised. But they want an assessor to come in and make sure that it's not been corrupted, that it's not have any pollution of anything along that line. So that's where it is right now. Those, as far as I know, the only two remaining things. Then we had to have another public hearing. We had one back in 2012 or so.
The planning board.
Yeah, it was might have been later than 2014.
Yeah, because 2 years ago, I think we talked this out. And
right. Mm-hmm.
The planning board and the council.
Yeah.
I was on the planning board at the time, and I remember coming to council meetings, and I thought it was done.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. Yeah.
So that's the situation. It's basically really up to Carmela now. Except I'm not sure, and Carmela would know, if she is authorized to assess whether or not it needs remediation, or whether she can sign off on the fact that it doesn't need remediation because it's never been a brownfield. It's never been in any way contaminated or even built upon.
Okay,
that's
the
story.
Did
anybody contact her about that issue?
I did, but I also told her that I'd be contacting the council.
I reported at the public at the meeting that we were gathering information, and then we knew that to bring us up to speed, we'd have our, and we're a new council in many ways, have our borough attorney review all the documents from the past, and then he's going to bring us up to speed, and he could tell us where we are.
Because right, obviously it would need authorization from the council.
Yeah.
And I also understand that it has to be a particular type of an engineer to sign off on
it
this?
It has to be somebody that's a state-licensed remediation specialist.
LSRP.
You remember
exactly.
That.
Licensed Site Remediation Specialist.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's my report.
Okay. Okay, reports of borough officials. We have none tonight. Old business, we have none. Okay, new business. First thing is the usage of the Barrow Hall by RAP on the following dates, all beginning at 8 o'clock. November 18th, which passed this year. January 20th, 2018. February 24th. March 24th. April 7th, is that? Yes, April 7th. May 11th. May 12th. And June 23rd. So RAP is requesting use of the Barrow Hall for those dates.
On a question, I think there's something in December also, December 16th. I don't see it on
this
list.
No, I don't see it here either.
But they should be queried about that.
Okay. Yeah.
So are these all for performances or are they meetings? Or are they?
Do you know Deirdre? Or?
I assume they're performances.
Yeah, or some kind of events, I guess.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of meetings. So, I mean, we don't have a lot of meetings. So I'm sure it's the events that are on the calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
To just do it in favor? Okay. All in favor granting this to RAP?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So RAP can use the Barrow Hall on those dates. The second thing is use of the amphitheater for the East Windsor Area Girl Scout Ceremony on June 10th, 2018, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. All in favor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we have number three, redbud planting at Homestead Lane, North Valley Triangle by the Environmental Commission. Is there a date for that? Or just in general? Probably in the spring, I would think, right, for planting?
Depends.
So it's June 10th.
As long as the ground's not frozen. But
really? Where do you see
I'm
that?
Sorry. I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I'm reading
I was
the wrong
say,
thing.
I didn't see that anywhere. Yeah. Well, whatever. When the time is right, the Environmental Commission is going to plant. Asking for permission to plant red bud there. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Aye.
Anybody opposed to that? Okay, that passes. Before we have council agenda meetings, I believe this is Maureen's.
Yes, I put the rest of those as well as two more that I wanted to put on. And that I would like to have the either the first or the second meeting of each month to be an agenda meeting. And I don't know, perhaps we could do a resolution to that effect, if that is something that the rest of the council would like to do.
If you could discuss a little bit how that structure works, I think it'd just be helpful.
Well, I've never participated in one, and I've never seen one since they didn't have any of the meetings that I've attended and watched. So perhaps it would be better that either our attorney or Mike Hamilton, who would participate in them. My understanding is that, from speaking with other people, is since we advertise all the meetings, it wouldn't prohibit us from taking action if we needed to, but the focus of the meeting would be discussion, as we really kind of did tonight about things. We did it during our bills, and it's now on all these matters under new business. Would be discussion of matters and deciding, and then talking about them. Is this a good idea? Would we like to refer this to a committee to study it? Would we like to have a resolution on it? Or it's really of a discussion nature, but maybe Mike could. Because Newport had them.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was during the Allen administration, which was probably 20 years ago. But the agenda meetings were non-action meetings at the time, and the various committees would report on the work that they did prior to coming into that agenda meeting. So they talk about all of the issues that were discussed in their committees. And then, as a result of their committee's report, they would suggest the following actions be taken. And so that would be basically put on the table by each committee and each committee chair during an agenda meeting. And then there would be a lot of discussion as to whether or not there should be action proposed, what that action should be. And then that would be put on for action at the action meeting. So it occurred like that. And one of the good things, well, there's pros and cons to that kind of structure. The committees have to be meeting on a regular basis, actually processing everything so that they can report and come up with recommended action. So I think the committees need to be established and actually really working and meeting on a regular basis to make that kind of system work. It was really very active, and there was a lot of public participation. I remember some of the meetings lasting till 11 o'clock at night. Because people would be driving by, they'd see all the cars here and say, is there a meeting? Am I missing a meeting? They'd stop in. But actually, it was a lot less formal than it is now. People in the audience could say, I have a suggestion about how to do that, or did you think about this or think about that? And so there was a lot of real public participation and them working with the council. And that has its positive aspects in that, you know, the public really has a chance to participate in the formation of public policy, which I'm all for. Because there's a lot of times you miss things. You don't see everything. You get locked in your own. You have blind spots. You get locked in your own way of looking at things. And then all of a sudden somebody says, hey, did you ever think of this? And you say, no, I never did that, but that's a great idea. So there was a lot of give and take. And again, but they're late meetings. They could be late meetings. They can be disorganized at times. But I think the key is for it to function. I think committees have to be established. They have to have good process. They have to be working on things and then have to come up with recommended actions. Much like in your report, Robin, where your committee met, you talked about things, and then you came up with some recommended kind of next steps. And that's how it worked, and I thought it worked really well. One of the effects that it has is when you actually get to the action meeting, usually it's very businesslike, it's very quick. Mm-hmm. All the discussion happened. It already happened, for that three-hour agenda meeting, and the public had a lot of participation, so they people really had input to give. So basically, a lot of the action meetings, I remember 25-minute meetings, 30-minute meetings, where it's just bop, 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 we discussed it, yes, no, move on, end of meeting at 7:37. So there are advantages and disadvantages, but I think the key is that all the committees really have to be fully operational, have to be processing and putting out a product and coming up with recommendations to the council. But I think it's a great system because it really, it adds a lot more input and throughput from the public. And I think people like that. I know I was in the public at times during those meetings before I was on the council, and I really liked the feel of it, being able to really discuss and work on those things. So my recommendation, I think it's an excellent idea. My recommendation would be to make sure that the committees are doing their work before we switch it on, and also make sure that we have a good idea as to how those meetings would actually operate. So the mayor would have to have a good idea, how do you facilitate that kind of meeting.
Yeah. And you said there's some advantages and disadvantages. So what are some of the disadvantages besides
late night meetings, that's one of the disadvantages. Late night meetings, that's the second one. And, well, it's just, it really does, you do a lot more processing. But again, the disadvantage is the committee's chairs really have to be on the ball, have to have regular meetings. I would recommend that they schedule them, like Maureen has suggested, schedule them as a fixed date. My committee is meeting every Monday night when there's not a council meeting, and, we're going to process things. So there's a lot more work for the council, too, because there's, that long agenda meeting, and every committee is really digging in. But I think you can do a lot more work and really dig into the issues. And
so can the committee meet and really sort of lay everything out so that the rest of the council can have an overview of what an agenda meeting really entails from, say, when you first come in till it's over, and then this way they have a better idea of what they're deciding on?
You mean, I'm not sure what you said.
Well, in other words,
you want the admin committee to do that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would like to work on it too.
Yeah.
In administration.
That's
yeah,
what she, okay. I'm what on administration. Just said. Well, that's yeah, one of the reasons why I wanted it on the agenda here because, you know, I thought perhaps we might want to refer that to the committee to come up with, but this would be giving to come up with the, because we still have to decide, there still has to be an agenda for the agenda meeting. We have to figure out how to do the agenda for the agenda meeting. The agenda for the action meeting would be simpler because
you're doing it at the meeting.
Well, because we're
at the following meeting. Through on the agenda.
We're following yeah. through. But yeah. And also, to me, another benefit that I really liked about it is it gives not only us but the public an opportunity because we wouldn't be voting on something until 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. not like it lands and here it is. Poof, there it is. We get it on you know yeah. whatever day we get the agenda, and there it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, so we have certain actions that we're anticipating taking at the next action meeting 2 weeks from now. The committees and individual council members can say, well, I'm not sure that's a good idea. Let me call this other town and find out what they do. Let's see if that's a good idea. Let's really explore these things and look at are there any unintended consequences of this action? Are we taking the right actions? Are there other actions we need to take in addition to it? So, yeah, it gives you that two-week period to do a lot of work on it and to make sure that you have...
Is this something we could take up at the reorganization meeting?
Well, it could kick on then, yeah. And I think it also ought to be, and I'll defer to our attorney, I think this ought to be something that ought to be in the administrative code. It ought to be put into code if you're going to change the format and have agenda meetings and then action meetings, or we may want to consider that. I'm not sure if it's...
Well, you wouldn't have to, but it's obviously a good idea because, you know, it establishes the rules.
Okay. And that's my suggestion. If you can present something, that there's two more meetings this year, right. So it gives the council a good time to study it, and then we can institute it at reorg if that's what everyone yeah. is agreeing.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
That makes too. Sense. I mean... I guess a question about the attorney can correct me, but I thought it said that at the meetings our code says that the council could do it by resolution, and I don't know, just because an ordinance, doesn't that take twice as long, two meetings for an ordinance, and resolution is one meeting?
Well, it takes two meetings and public hearing.
And public hearing and all, it's much more.
I mean, it's a matter of how... You know, how serious you want to take it. I mean, I think that you can just decide by consensus that we're going to have an agenda meeting every other meeting. But, you know, that's what I'm saying is that it's you could start that way and then lock it in. I wouldn't necessarily do an ordinance until you've tried it out.
Right. That's what I was thinking. We may not like it. Right. It may not work very well. Right. And then we're right. stuck with an ordinance.
Well, resolution's only good for till the end. To reorganization until the next year.
Yeah, from this. Well, I wouldn't do it. Resolution tonight. I mean, now.
Right. No.
I'd wait till then. Wait okay. till the
we
reorg.
Wait till the reorg meeting, right. And but we would.
But
so
if you could come up with some kind of.
So we'll come up with a protocol.
Protocol, so that
a protocol. We'll work on that. Okay, that's another. So we have a lot of things on our list for that. Okay, but I wanted to just see. Is that kind of people? Does people think that's good?
Yes.
Wait until next year.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
well, and it gives and examine it. We have a few meetings to examine it, and then determine if that's something everyone's agreeable to.
The administration committee could kick it around, and bring it back to us.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. All right. So I'll put that on our list. My list of.
Well, I'd like to have a sense of what the public wants too. I mean. If it's okay,
well, that's why I thought
to open it up to the public now to ask if they would like to be part of that kind of process of actually forming public policy with a little less formal structure than this, you know.
Why I thought if you had something that you could present to people. I mean, we have this discussion now, but maybe something a little more concrete that they can read or peruse and make a determination, you know.
We'll come up with, hopefully we'll have a resolution to present. Sure. Would that make sense?
And a prototype of an agenda meeting.
We could, a prototype, and but we could just present it, and then the next meeting we could discuss that resolution and not vote on it until we get
to reorg.
Do a resolution to reorg and see how it works.
Yeah.
But again, I think Mike hit the nail on the head, though, when he said that It works if you have something to talk about, basically, if people have actually done homework and have brought facts and information that's useful in order to formulate laws and policies. If that doesn't happen, then it's just basically what's called a bull session. And it's not really productive. So it is key to actually do.
And we don't want to put that into a resolution.
Well, that's a legal term.
Yeah, right.
Okay, number 5, expenditure protocols.
Okay, that again was me. And I think this is another matter that would be the administration committee, but I want to throw it out because I did look at it. I've had concerns about myself, about the idea of one person, either on the council or an employee, just going out and spending money. And then we get a bills list, we get the bill, and there it is. And it's already been provided, though. So we almost have to pay it if we got it. So to me, I think that I would like to explore a protocol for, I guess you call it purchase and expenditures, that there be some procedure that there be checks and balances on expenditures. That's one issue that I've seen.
And just to say, we're saying right now there are no checks and balances per se.
There are none that I know of, right. I mean, I get this pile of bills, and it's like Bert was saying, what is this one for? What is that one for?
So I'm just checking to see. Yeah. There is none right now.
Well, there are purchase orders that go out for prices for things that are going to be built. But who looks over the shoulder? It's almost like we need an administrator to look over the shoulder of all of the money coming and going, or at least all of the money going. So I understand what you're saying, but what is the most practical way to implement that aside from having an administrator?
Well, that's something that we could discuss. I mean, I personally have thought for a while it's putting a lot on the mayor, I think, to expect an unpaid mayor to do all the essentially administrative duties. Mm-hmm. And I know it was discussed last year at the council that was discussed in the context of the budget, and some of the council members raised it, and there wasn't a majority to do that. But I think that's something I would want to explore, an administrator.
Even if it's part-time, one or two days a week to come in and say, what's coming at us? You know,
I think we could start a little simpler at first, is to set up some. This came up in the audit report, too, is that they said it can't comment on internal controls, but you need internal controls. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have them, we could start, best practices for small communities like us, and it's something that we could do right away in one form and then perhaps go to administrator, but we don't have to wait to get to an administrator to do that.
Yeah, there are a lot of expenditure protocols that we can implement and we can talk about, and I think administration is a good place to start the ball rolling on it. And also,
or maybe administration and finance.
Also the finance committee, that's where I was going with that. There are things like, what if an employee wants to go for an additional license that's related to their job with the town, or they, and they want to go back, they want to go to school to get that license? Do we have any kind of protocol that says that they need to fill out an application that goes to the council and gets approved prior to, that expense being initiated?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because there's a couple of bills of places from Rutgers and this pile here.
Right.
And who said that was okay?
Well,
and
who
are
went?
They for?
I don't
who
even
went?
Know who went.
Who
right.
went? And
so
what do they
be,
get? What do we
a,
get for that?
Right, so there ought to be a simple form. That if you know you want to take a course, you fill out the form, you put the reason why, how it's related to your job, how it's going to benefit the town and the taxpayers, and then it has to be passed by however we authorize, however the protocol is set up, has to be signed off on somebody.
Because all this time someone has just decided they were going to take a class, they signed up and put in for reimbursement.
No.
Right.
There was no oversight. Yeah, there was no oversight.
We have some
insight in the audience. Right. Should we hear?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But do you want to say that there is a protocol?
No, Robin, we'll wait.
Before we get to that, I also wanted to say that if somebody wants to go to a convention or something, which, you know, a lot of times those are very useful, League of Municipalities or, you know, whatever, they can just apply. All they need to do is say, I'd like to go to this, and it would probably get approved, you know. And if there was a hotel that wanted to rent a hotel room, I think that's something that ought to be applied for.
And along with that, how far in advance do they apply for this?
Right.
Who approves it? And
this is all part of the protocol.
Who approves it? Right. That we'd have to decide the process. I mean, I'd even go further, because I've looked for a couple of years. I've been watching the bill list here and looked at expenditures. And as Mr. Connor said, they do add up. That maybe it's $409 this month.
Nickels and dimes.
But they add up. They add up to thousands of dollars when you take an annual. And even, for example, Staples. The borough, as of October, has spent, I asked the CFO, we've spent over $3,000 at Staples. And I think that sounds like a lot of money at Staples. To me, it does.
Maybe.
So I don't, personally, I don't think that somebody who works here should just say, I'm running out to Staples and buying these 20 things and here's the bill. That's how I feel. I mean, a pre-authorization.
In terms of history and whatnot, you could look at so many years past and how much we've used from Staples and stuff like that. So there are ways to administer that sort of a thing, because you do need certain supplies. And you do need things at the sewer plant.
I work for the federal government for 20 years. It has a lot more money than Roosevelt does.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not order things from Staples without it being approved before we ordered it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from.
The loop of people to have to approve is probably more expensive than going all the way to Staples.
No, it wasn't a lot of big
people.
Exactly.
But it also should be some sort of base amount that, right. I mean, you can't ask for approval for every... You won't do anything but sit around and give approvals for something that's $29.99 that's, you know.
Can I just say that it's 2017. I'm ashamed of myself because I'm a citizen of this town, now on the council. And I want to say, what? There's been no oversight and there's been no simple basic 101.
I don't think it means there's been no oversight, but I don't think it's
been normal.
There's been no formal. There's been no
formal. It hasn't been organized and established protocol.
It's really bad. How old is the town?
We've had mayors who I'm sure have reviewed these things and improved on.
Well, there hasn't been any structure that can be passed on.
Right. And I think that's the key thing. You need to have that structure in place.
I blame. I'm a citizen. I could have come around like Maureen checking on the bills and everything, but that's like 101.
I think the perfect place to start on it is administration committee and also.
And finance. Finance and administration.
Well, I'm on administration and finance, so there's articulation between the committees.
Well, there's also, you have to understand, Robin, this is a system of volunteers. Everyone is volunteering their time.
I understand that, but even volunteers for government,
of course,
that's
you have to
so basic.
Well, everything that's really purchased has to go through Anna, too. So there are some, I know, there are some checks and balances.
There are definitely. It's not a free-for-all. I mean, it's making it sound like there's a free-for-all. It's not.
Yeah.
There are checks and balances. There is oversight. There just hasn't been a formal protocol of oversight, both on.
Well, that's essential.
So that's another thing.
Well, look, you know what it adds up to. I mean, you maybe say nickel and dimes, but it's $1 million a year.
Right.
It's $1 million in and $1 million out.
That's what I mean about nickels and dimes.
That's a modest business.
Who's on the administration committee? I'm sorry. Who's on?
So far, it's just
it's
Mike and
I. Maureen and I.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to be on that committee.
Well, we can discuss that
at
reorg.
That'd be great.
So,
okay,
all right, so do we have a consensus that should be explored also?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
all right, so that'll be explored. All right, then I'll try to, I know it's late, but.
By the way, the League of Municipalities can be a big help on that. They have, you know, because they have information on all the different size municipalities.
Help for small towns.
Exactly.
How do we.
All right, number six, Citizen Advisory Committee.
All right, that was what I said. What I wanted was Citizen Advisory Committee to study staffing needs, and that was included the needs of, do we need a borough administrator? What do we need? Do we need a part-time person I don't know that. I don't know that, and I think that should be looked at before we go hiring people. That's my own view. It should be looked at and studied, and I think that's an important issue to have a couple people from the public on that.
Yeah, I think comments from the public would be good, but I think in general, that would be the administration and the finance committee.
Yeah,
I think.
And the mayor, because there's certain positions.
And the mayor, yeah, and public works are people that work in public works, and so all the committees seem to have people that civilians or employees that work through the committees, but there has to be some sort of a consensus as to what we need, who we need, the type of persons we need. I mean, I'm just so happy that we passed the two Gregs to be like, take the trash out, clean the gutters, like
the storm drains.
The storm drains. I mean, we made calls before the last rain. Everybody, can you go out and clean your storm drain? I mean, this is kind of not unprofessional, but we can do better than this, you know. So, so.
And we have a pretty good idea of what we do need here.
Yeah. Yeah, and what I think the committees should come up with concepts of what we need. Like, you know, Public Works just came up with a couple of names, and I actually think we need more than two, and on a part-time basis and as needed, because what if there's a big blizzard? We're going to need all hands on deck, you know.
What's being proposed right now that we need to respond to?
Well, we don't need to I didn't put a resolution yet, but I'm presenting it for discussion in terms of I think that it needs to be studied, not – I think it needs to be studied. Do we need a second full-time employee? Do we need do we need a business administrator? Do we need someone part-time to answer the phones?
Yeah.
Well, Maureen, I have to say that I don't think we have time to study it. I know that we're considering hiring someone for the office as soon as possible. We're just putting out, put out the names, you know, put it out for proposal. Yeah. Because right now, if Kathleen can't make a meeting, there is no backup. Also,
well, half a backup.
You can have a short term and a long term plan.
Right. We could have a short term plan. Temporary. Yeah. Have
plan
need temporary.
A, B, C, D, E.
By the way, I just want to make a comment. The way that we're discussing all these issues now is a lot like the way an agenda meeting works.
So we're already doing it.
Yeah. We're kind of already doing it naturally, but it's a more full discussion about that.
Right.
Only the public's not involved yet.
So I think that all the committees should have their wish list about who they think should be working.
That's a good way to phrase it, a wish list.
Yeah, a wish list, and then bring it and kick it back and forth like this, and then open it up to the public to say, no, you people are crazy, you can't afford this, you can't do that, but we do need somebody here, we do need somebody there. But, once we as a council kick it around, then absolutely bring the public.
When I was first mayor, I established the position of borough administrator, part-time borough administrator. Mm-hmm. You have to establish that by ordinance.
Okay.
And that particular person actually has statutory power. Mm-hmm. Under state law, to make decisions outside of the purview of the council.
Right.
So if you need a decision to be made, it doesn't have to go through the you got to wait 2 weeks for the next meeting and then have a lot of discussion about it and not get anything done.
Absolutely, but then that's where the public has to be involved too, because they're hiring that person to be responsible for their money, you know. And my union, we allowed the executive board to spend up to $500 without having to ask, you know, the union. But beyond that, man, it was like you had to deal with the people.
Well, that's
spending
protocol.
That's
okay.
A
can we move on from here? It's really
I guess so. We can put up table and put it on next. Next. Okay. This I would like. The next one is I would like to have a resolution directing borough employees that we implement online bill payment by January 1st. I would like to move that.
From what
can't
I
be done.
Yeah.
Why can't it be done?
It's online bill. You have to. There's a whole. We just went through this in one class. There's a whole procedure when you do online bill payment. You have to get a bank and a card. The company that processes the cards, a processing agent. I mean, I'm not saying you
No, I don't mean online bill payment by the borough.
By individual.
By
well, you
by
their cards.
Oh, right. Right.
That's
I
the
thought,
issue.
Oh,
the
okay.
issue is using the credit cards or the debit cards, clearing them,
To pay taxes, we're talking about here.
Water, sewer bills.
Water, sewer bills, taxes.
No, I appreciate it. It's something that can't be done.
But that's all part of this whole software upgrade.
I thought this was already underway.
This is underway, and apparently it will be ready by January 1st.
Oh, that's great if it's
underway. That's why I wanted the result.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, it's no resolution involved. This was put on when Jeff was mayor, and he changed the protocol for the software itself.
My guess is it might take a little longer than January 1st to implement it because you want to make sure that it works right.
They've been working this for the past 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah, I know.
And I would ask George and Jerry and Sal where they're at with this now. I think they're pretty doggone close, to tell you the truth. Well, you know.
Okay, and then we have to also inform the public how it works, because isn't there some kind of fee involved if you use your credit card? And so we really have to make sure.
2% of your price for a credit card, but if you go to a certain other thing, it's free. So they know this has been kicked around, you know. So this is close. This is all very close.
I know it's been discussed. But that's the reason I brought it up, because it has been discussed for so long and it hasn't occurred.
No, it's been working.
I would like to put a cutoff date. It may not be January 1st, but I would like to have a cutoff date that whatever has to be done is, in fact, done by that date, we don't keep saying, well, it's in the works.
No. From what I've heard, what I believe is it will be implemented by January 1st, but I say we must speak with Jerry and Sal and George to know where they're at with it, because those are the ones that are going to be directly affected, aside from us people.
We were pushing the issue. We had a conversation with Sal.
Right.
Too, about what's going on with that. Can we please move that along?
That was a couple of months ago.
Yeah, that was a couple of months ago, and he was saying, there's a lot of work to be done on my end at my house and interfacing with it.
That was the virtual.
And I only get paid $15,000 a year for my job, so I'm not going to work a hell of a lot of extra hours because I'm a PERS employee. So
that's what he said to me.
Are you talking about online payment by citizens of
taxes?
Yeah.
Taxes and water and sewer. But that's what he said. I wasn't going to bring that up, but that is what he said to me also.
Well, it's true. I mean,
our tax collector said to me.
Are you going to work a lot of extra hours for nothing?
Well, that's exactly why I want to put a cutoff date on it, because
Peggy, can you ask where they're at with this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it would be.
Could we get a date?
I'll ask where they're at and then see how it.
I think it'll help out with cash flow too, because it's convenient to be able to pay by credit. If you don't have the money, you get a cash flow pinch during the month.
That's why people have credit
cards. But you want to pay your water sewer bill, you can use the charge.
Yeah, the reason I'm bringing it up
is
that maybe I'm wrong, but the way I look at it is it's up to us when to implement it, not up to our employees.
Well, you have to take into consideration whatever it is. I mean.
We should just ask and see where they're at. Yeah. I think they're that close at this point. So,
Okay, I have two other new business. One is that I would like to have an orientation by our borough attorney.
I'm sorry, Maureen.
I would like to have an orientation session by our borough attorney for the administrative duties of the duties of council members, how the council functions, and I would like to have that scheduled either at a regular meeting or a special meeting.
Isn't that something that the league does?
Yeah,
doesn't the
league
do seminars on that?
I think in January or February there's going to be some sort of a league thing that teaches you all of that stuff. I went to one last January, I believe. So it's usually in that League of Municipalities magazine, and, Kathleen and Anna know when this stuff is coming up.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent idea. You need to know what you're...
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to help you if you want. It's not extra.
I'd say somebody to walk the grounds here and figure out, where we're at and where everything is.
And
where
the duties of a council person, the duties of a committee chair.
You can pull from the code book, the committees, the mayor, all of this.
Well, there's a lot of, I'm more concerned with the ethical stuff and the Open Public Records Act, the Public Meetings Act, and issues that you can run afoul of pretty easily because they're not intuitive necessarily.
Well, the league is pretty good about that stuff. I've never
taken
a
league course.
Can we get a league schedule?
It was a six-hour class or something.
Right on their website. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anything I can do, I'd be glad to do.
I also like our attorney, because I have asked questions about administrative how do we do have administrative functions in a borough, I believe, but I don't know how those are carried out exactly. So that's what the concern I've had, question I've had. And I just would like to put it on the agenda at either the next meeting or...
Well, if you have specific questions and you write them out and give them to me, and I can come prepared to or write something or come prepared to respond, so it'd be better if it was, you know, directed. So if the council wanted to, say, cover an area or something and had some questions, fine. I'll do it anyway, but it's just, I think, to be more efficient.
I think it's a really good idea, especially with a few relatively new council members. And the League of Municipalities is great, but that's bigger, and they're dealing with, like, issues up here, and you could deal with issues that are up here, but here, too,
there's
at the local
people,
level.
There's a thousand people at the League meeting, so it's a conference.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
Well, could I make a motion that at the next meeting?
Well, I believe that it's more efficient to wait for reorg because my seat will be filled by then, so you'll have the additional council person on at the table. So
This is an agenda meeting for January now.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
People don't retain too much during this holiday season.
Except for weight.
That's it.
All right, so that we want to consider that for January. I mean, I would rather it sooner, but I'm only one person.
Well, I think it's more sense. Well, it just seems to make more sense since there'll be an additional person to wait until January.
All right. Then I have, I guess, one more matter, which is that tonight I would like to do a resolution that the clerk is to see to it that all bills are online by the week before the council has to vote on them.
We talked about it earlier.
I would like that, but I would like that in the form of resolution tonight. I'm moving that be passed tonight. Do I have a second?
Could 1 week before the action meeting?
Yes. You just say once again what you're looking for, sorry.
That the clerk shall see to it that bills that will be voted on at a particular meeting are online, available to the council and the public 1 week in advance.
I just from a legal perspective, the clerk might be the wrong person to lay that on. Mm-hmm. In other words, the clerk doesn't have responsibility for the bills or for finance. So she could, if somebody gives the bills to her, she could probably help get them online, but she has no control over the bills themselves.
Well, who's the appropriate person then?
Be it George then?
Well, it would be either Anna or George. I'm not sure, but I know that it's not the clerk. The clerk has specific duties, and the bills are not one of them.
So before we pass this resolution, can we find out exactly who would be responsible, George or Anna or both?
Well, I would then amend it and have it be the chief financial officer, and he could require it to be done by the appropriate person.
Well, he would definitely be the person on top of that particular pyramid.
So I would like to put that as a motion, if there's a second on it.
I just have a few questions. What if a bill comes in?
We don't even have a second yet.
Oh, well, go ahead, get a second. I'll second it for discussion's sake. What if a bill comes in 5 days before the meeting and it's not within that 1 week? Does that mean that bill doesn't get paid until the next meeting, which could be 2.5 weeks later? Because sometimes bills are a little late coming in. Will we make exceptions for that and it could issue a supplemental? You know, if they're bills, they can do an amended.
If their due date is, if the due date is prior to that, then of course we would do that. We don't want to pay them late.
So how would you include that in your resolution?
Well, I mean, we are already doing it now because we get them now, and there's a cutoff date. There is a cutoff date. So so this would just be the cutoff date being moved. Raised the 1 week because Joe said 1 week.
Yeah.
My original idea was the Wednesday before. But the date, that's up to us how much in advance we need it.
Sure.
We could do it the same day that the agenda comes out, because then we know the bills are already there. The cutoff date has already occurred. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think personally that we need to organize ourselves a little bit more before we make these hard cuts, you know, that we need more people on the council. We need, say, a couple of public works people going here. You know, we need to have ourselves organized a little bit more, and then we can plow through stuff like that. I mean, I would, like, I'll be here tomorrow going over these bills one at a time before I sign them. And I'll probably want to talk to Toby. I'll probably want to talk to Anna. I'll probably want to talk to people about, what do you mean? You know, but right now, I don't feel comfortable passing a resolution right now saying that this is the way it's going to be. I need to know more about the flow, and the more I get a pile of bills like this, the more questions I have about the flow. And it also leans towards a part-time, full-time administrator, somebody in the office to make it a little bit easier, the public works people, just to have more hands on deck to know what we're doing, how we're getting there.
One of the questions I had, Maureen, that I wanted to get clarity on before I could even talk about this was, that's why I got confused about the last discussion about online bill pay. Mm-hmm. Is our office right now, meaning our borough office, it's not paperless yet, like paperless bills, like, you know, everybody's saying go paperless. It would be probably important to know that first, because if we're not paperless, we should be where we can. We should move to that. Then it expedites the sharing of the bills because they're online already. So do we know that? Like, I see a lot of paper. Are these all printed out? Are they, you know, mm-hmm. that would yes. help the process.
I actually had suggested that in September to request that all vendors provide paperless bills. I think that's a terrific idea.
I know not everybody can.
Have any authority
yeah.
to
yeah.
carry
yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to. If we direct it. I think that probably makes, to me, it only makes sense to do that. I guess my concern is this, is that am I being asked to pay for bills, to vote on bills that I don't know what I'm buying. When I get my credit card bill, I look at it. I don't just look at the amount due. Mm-hmm. I look at it. Mm-hmm. And I feel that if I do that for my own money, I should have a higher level of scrutiny mm-hmm. for the public's money.
Sure.
That is my thinking on it.
Absolutely.
And I know that the Open Public Records Act requires that bills be provided immediately, and that's the word that's used, when they're requested under Open Public Records Act, and that they be provided in the format requested. Mm-hmm. So I think that that just made it simple in my mind that I don't see any impediment to that happening, and I started making those requests because I felt like I had a fiduciary obligation to know what we were paying for, at least until I have a handle mm-hmm. on where is all this money going.
Mm-hmm.
So right. that's my thinking on it, and I don't think we need extra help to do it. I think it's simple. A volunteer actually came to Borough Hall and was willing to scan them. I don't think it's a tremendous amount of work. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Think that, and I do think that, like, again, when public asks about questions, we should have the bills and know what it is, and we're approving it. We're not here to be a rubber stamp to approve whatever.
Kathleen has some input
first.
Into this.
Okay.
Do you want to
mm-hmm.
mention?
No, just as far as when you said you had a volunteer come in, I mean, some of the information you might have to redact. I mean,
mm-hmm.
legal bills that would come in if he's, you know, doing anything that's
confidential.
Yeah. Confidential.
No, I understand. I didn't have a volunteer come in. I said I understood a volunteer came in. I didn't have anybody do it.
No,
I understood that occurred.
Out some
but I don't think
general,
we need, personally,
yeah.
I don't think we need.
Do have to have original signatures, so that is a piece of paper that has to go out.
Yeah.
That's
there's no online signatures, it has to be?
No, it's going to be original.
It's got to be original signature.
Okay. But there once more, we have, there's more work involved than it appears on the surface. Yeah.
But once we have the law, which we do have, that says that they have to be provided immediately in the format requested, I will make that request at every single meeting. So the work is going to be done. It is going to be done. All I'm saying is put them on our website. That's the only thing.
Can I ask that the Finance Committee talk with George Lang and Anna together about this to see how practical it would be?
Because, well, you can ask, but I'm doing the Oprah request anyway.
No, I understand, but this way you wouldn't have to do the Oprah request. It would be the way you want it, but people that are going to implement it will be these two, and whether they need help or whatever, but it's worthy of a discussion with them, I think.
Rather than a resolution
tonight. Everyone's more
than
welcome to...
Rather than a resolution tonight.
To discuss. Well... Then I could perhaps have an alternative website put them on once I get them under Oprah. If the council is refusing to put them on our borough website,
I don't think the council is refusing. I think the council just doesn't want to pass a resolution tonight.
Not tonight. I
don't think they're refusing to put it on the website. I've never
heard
that.
I would want the Finance Committee to meet with Anna and George to see how best it would work for them and for you. How's that? Okay.
Well, that's fine, but again, I'm doing the Oprah request, and the law requires. Am I correct, Ira, about the law and Oprah?
Anyone can make an Oprah request.
And that for bills, that bills have to be provided immediately.
Well, the law says that financial information should be provided as soon as possible, right?
You would want full detail, right, of all the bills, not a list.
No, I want the bills. The bills.
Full detail.
Then you wouldn't. I don't need a list. I want the bills.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, what I'm saying is that there's the only issue that I'm raising is putting them online.
Kathleen, could you pull the invoice that I signed for the roof repair? I signed it as part of my packet tonight. It's about this big. That one bill is about this big because it has all kinds of documentation attached to it, approvals, and all of that. All of it's really important. And that bill alone is a lot of work to... Here it is. That's one bill.
Well, that's where we could ask the vendor to provide it electronically.
Well, yeah, but it's multiple... It's not just the vendor. There's multiple specs and different things here, engineering things, insurance, proof of insurance, emails, State of New Jersey, approval for the historic district. So all I'm saying is there are some issues there. But I think it's an excellent idea because otherwise, how are people going to know what they're paying for, and how are we going to know what we're authorizing?
Understood.
I think we have to move.
No, that would be fine
in that direction. But there are some issues that could come up with.
You should get the people involved also that are going to wind up doing it. You know, to know whether they're going to need help or not. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
So you want, in other words, so your suggestion is Finance should meet with George and Anna
and say, this is the request. This is the request. We want everything to be online to the detail a week before, you know, a meeting and available to the public. So how do we do this, George, Anna? How do we do this? So I know you're saying just snap our fingers.
Well, that's
and
fine,
it's
but
done.
I'm still doing the Oprah request.
I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying that this is the people that are in the trenches doing this. They're the ones that are going to do it. So can you present it to them also? You know.
All right. Can we move on from here? It's almost 10 o'clock.
Please.
All right. One last thing. We have some vacancies in the different.
Go back, because there was a first and a second.
Yeah.
But we are tabling.
Well, I'd like to vote on it.
Somebody has to move the table.
I'd like to vote on it.
I'd move to table this till the next meeting.
Doesn't we have to have does that supersede?
Motion to table supersedes anything. It doesn't need a second.
It does need a second. Okay.
Or to refer it to committee.
And it gets voted on.
Okay.
Without discussion.
We have a second.
That's Robert's rules, anyway.
No, Ira said you don't need a second for tabling.
Oh, okay.
So all in favor of tabling?
Should it be a roll call or no?
Roll call or all in favor?
Roll call.
All right, roll call.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
This is to table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
No.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so it's 4-0-1 table. And that's not even on here, so number.
Well, Maureen had two more after her number seven, so eight, not so,
so
that was number nine, right? Okay. So we have, it's only for three more meetings. We just have two more meetings after tonight till the end of the year. But there are some vacancies on the different committees. So, Deirdre, you can decide whether you would like to just plug you in wherever Nick was, or my committees are available also. So I'm not going to put you on the spot this minute, but I can tell you where there's vacancies, and you...
Well,
want me to tell you?
The environmental health and safety is one.
Okay. And Nick, I think Nick was the chair of that.
Right. Yeah.
So do you want to assume?
Yes, that would be fine.
Great. And then the two others where someone is available, where there's a spot available, is utilities, public works, finance, administration.
Administration would be.
Okay. So can we, so Deirdre will be chair of environmental health and safety. And
administration.
Yeah, and what was the third one?
Nick was on public works and utilities.
Oh, right, so you have one more choice. Do you want public works or utilities?
Public works.
Public works.
Okay.
And we can negotiate all these.
In January at the reorg. That's a long meeting. So let's... Okay, it's 9:55. Public comment. I didn't forget. Jed?
Holy cow.
Job Sean, 18, tomorrow. I don't even have a voice left.
I know.
So when do you appoint does your council seat remain vacant until the reorganization?
The way it works is that the Democratic committee chairs have 15 days from the time of the vacancy, we'll be specific. I was elected on November 7th. However, the election was not certified until the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 15 days from the 17th, which I think takes it to December 2nd. We submit three names to the council, and the council chooses one of the three to fill my seat.
Council has 15.
And then, I forgot that. So we have 15 days to submit it to the council, and then the council has 15 days to choose the person.
Okay. And I just wanted to comment that it isn't that easy to get people to be on the council, and in the three meetings in which Nick was on the council, I was very impressed with his work, and if he's willing, I think it makes a lot of sense for him to be appointed. And I also think it makes a lot of sense in terms of the divisiveness that's existed in the community, and we know that Nick is supported by some people who aren't supporting most of the people on the council, and I think it would help reduce the divisiveness if he represented that group on the council. The other thing I wanted to say is that all the times that I've come to meetings, I have been struck by how quickly the council was expected to make decisions on agenda items that they had sometimes never seen before that meeting, and so there was no time to think things over, and I personally need time to process ideas, so I think the idea of having agenda meetings is excellent. And I also am very interested in serious consideration of having a borough administrator again, because I think that it's too much for the mayor as a volunteer to be in charge of supervising the employees. And for instance, you were talking about some of the shared services with the county for certain jobs, and they're not scheduled. They have to be decided upon at the moment. And also in terms of supervising expenditures, all these things, I can't see how we can improve the function of this borough without a professional to some extent in charge of all these functions. I know that there was a lack of job descriptions for borough employees, and there's been discussion about that this evening. Who sees if the employees are living up to the requirements of their job descriptions? So I hope that that's considered. I don't know how it can be paid for, but there needs to be some creative thinking about that.
Thank you. Is there anyone who hasn't spoken yet who would like to speak?
Deb Lenart, 5 Elm Court. This question is actually, I guess, for Mike. As far as the deciding on the plower, the person that's going to plow the roads, it is going to be December, and we could have snow. I know we're going to have a 60-degree day on Wednesday, but we could have snow by the end of the week. If that were to happen, what's the plan, and when are we going to have a hard stop on what we're going to be doing as far as the roads, because some of us can't watch the snowflakes fall. We have to go to work.
Well, we did hire 2 public works employees tonight, so,
okay,
right,
so
now they have snowplow experience.
Well, when will, if it snows next weekend?
I want to answer your question. In the past, we've picked up the phone and called a contractor.
So that's what you would do?
Well, if we didn't have a plan in place by then, we'd have to have the roads plowed, right?
I would hope so.
So you pick up the phone, you say, can you plow the roads, and you hire a contractor. We did that with KTK for
So that's what you would do
time.
Then, so that they would be taken care of early in the morning, so that people
The roads would
have
to be taken care of right away. We're not going to let that go.
Okay. And as far as some of the safety issues we have here within the Borough Hall and within the old firehouse, what is the plan? We now have tarps that are falling off of the top of the building that are hanging there, that I think if any of us had those on our house, it would be an issue. What's the plan? What are we doing? I mean, this has been going on for probably well over a year now, and every meeting I bring it up, and nothing is being done. No one's talking about it. What are we doing with the building that's a hazard to people that could potentially fall at any time? Or again, the ambulances that are turned on whenever they have calls here. We give them a $10,000 donation, which is great. They need that, but they have less than satisfactory places to work out of, and people are all breathing in the fumes from these ambulances. So are we going to continue to ignore these things?
I don't
what
think
are
anything
we doing?
Is being ignored. I think that
this
as
is
you can
years.
See, this brand new council has had a huge amount of tasks to tend to since we took office only on September 25th, so it's been 8 weeks. We've been tackling everything from the new roof that was repaired, to a myriad of things that have had to be dealt with.
Okay.
That's something that is not being ignored. It's just not on.
But
this
again,
moment.
This has been going on for years, Peggy. This is not new.
Yeah.
Years. Again, I mentioned the falling grates. Now, I know that Nick went out of his way to try to get tiles ordered. You know, there's nothing. These things are not being addressed. That's a safety hazard. It could fall on Maureen's head at any time, honestly. Really. The light is still laying across the top of the outside of the Borough Hall.
Yeah.
These are safety. I live with an occupational safety officer for the state of New Jersey.
Absolutely true.
Not good.
Yeah. I just don't want you to think we're ignoring them if it's not something we've discussed tonight.
But this has been going on and on and on. Are we going? I'm going to ask every meeting until.
You're right. For years, things have been neglected.
Yeah.
Years and years. During Hurricane Sandy, I think that roof for the
My husband was
back.
A firefighter at the time. I'm well aware, as was Timmy, who was out there in this.
And nobody did anything about it, right? So there's a lot of work that we're still trying to catch up on, Deb. Mm-hmm. And I think that these are all incredibly important issues, all of them, and they need to be addressed. And we're moving. I think most of us were in place since, what,
September 25th.
Or October. And so we're really trying to grab a hold of all these things, as you can see, from a lot of the actions that we've taken. But these safety issues, I think, are paramount. The tarps blowing around, that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. But we need to figure out how are we going to address it. That's the main issue. You know, are we going to sink money into a new building, rehab an old building? Are we going to...
But when are you discussing this? It's never discussed here, so...
No, it's discussed in committee, but we'd be glad to discuss it with the public. The public can participate in, or at least be present at committee meetings and bring it up, and I think...
And then my last question is, I know Nick did some research on some of those fines that we were accruing, and we were up to about $7,000, but if we made a appointment with somebody to... from the state to go over this, then the fines would be reduced greatly to about $300 and something.
The fines have been negated.
So you made an appointment and you met with this person and...
We received an email.
But I
Nick.
Thought that I was, that it was, we had to meet with them and discuss it and...
Not according to the email that Nick was sent.
Okay, is anyone going to reach out and make sure that that email is correct and speak with them themselves?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I would just like to, Nick Murray, 22 South Rochdale. I just wanted to comment on that last comment by Deb. I received a call from Paula Skelton of PIOSH, and she said that they just finished reviewing our file. This was, I guess, last Wednesday she called me, or sometime last week, reviewing our file, and they're not going to pursue our failure to abate fines. They spoke with the Department of Labor, and she said, frankly, it's just not worth pursuing. It's, you know, it's not an issue anymore. She said that the borough is going to receive a letter saying that our case has been closed for those three citations within the next few weeks. So that's where I'm at.
Thank
you. Was that an email?
Yeah.
No, it was a phone call. Okay. And she said she's going to send an official letter saying that our case
She was calling you as a council person? She thought you
were. Yes, at the time. I was still a council person.
You were still. Okay, great. Good, thanks.
Michael?
Okay, Michael Tixon. I just wanted to make a recommendation. If you are going to go to a schedule of having agenda meeting and then the regular meeting and have a committee meetings every month, in order to be avoid being overwhelmed with committee meetings, something you might want to consider is having basically everybody in two committees where people, the chairs are different things. For example, you took administration and finance and community development on one hand and utilities and public works and environmental on the other hand. There is some relation between them, and they can have a single meeting once a month of those committees, and they take turns discussing the issues rather than have people having to go to three different meetings a month, which I think would quickly break down.
But Michael, there would be more than four committee members who are on the council at these meetings.
No, you arrange the committee membership so the same people belong to those three committees.
Okay.
So they're basically two super committees,
which
have three different topics, and different people can be in charge.
I think we did that, didn't we do that?
We did that at one point, and then it broke down.
Yeah.
But it stopped for some reason. Okay. Something that made sense. If you want to have committee meetings monthly of all committees, I think that's the way you have to do it, or else you're going to be going to committee meetings constantly, and nobody will want to go anymore.
Well, that was my concern. It was just too overwhelming.
I got the great idea.
Meeting atrophy.
Sharon.
Yeah.
Meeting exhaustion.
Sharon Walls, 23 North Valley. I just wanted to say that first I wanted to echo Jeb's comments about appointing Nick. It's evident that even though he's not on the council, he's still functioning in some way for the betterment of the community. So that just goes to his good character. Aside from that, I wanted to say that for the last couple of years, we've been talking about our salt storage problems. So evidently, there's a pile of salt that isn't covered, right? It's been out to the elements. So if we are going to do shared services with anyone, It would be nice if we could utilize the salt that we already own rather than paying for salt from someplace else when evidently there's a pile of salt somewhere. So maybe whoever we do the shared services with could utilize the salt that we already have.
Well, we are planning on using it, and not with the county because they have their own salt supply, but with our own plow operator. We would use it to touch up places. Also, I don't know if you know this, but there is a location to store salt that was built for that purpose. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It's behind.
We've just been talking about it for 2 years.
It's blocked by the trailer, unfortunately. The trailer that's out in the parking lot. There's a three-sided enclosure. The only modification that needs to be made is instead of a concrete pad, it has to have an asphalt pad on it because salt degrades concrete. And then once that trailer is moved out of the way, which is another reason for wanting to get that trailer out of there,
we
can actually access it and put a tarp on it and store it properly. Yeah. So we're actually waiting for some of those things to occur so that we actually can use it, but good idea.
All right, great. Yep.
Mark Connors, 23 North Rossdale. Couple of things. One of which is I heard what Mike just said, and it sounds like a good idea, except for the fact that when they were talking about adding a fourth band to the firehouse and possibly moving a driveway out along the side of it, they started talking about wetlands, and you can't store salt where it's going to run off onto wetlands.
Right.
So that's something you need to look at.
Where it's at now is in the wetlands.
Basically. Okay, so we're going to just take it from somewhere that's in violation and put someplace else in violation. That's good. Secondly, I'm glad to see you hired public works people. I worked for public works for 28 years, 150 men. I probably hired about 35, 40. I never hired anybody that didn't have a job description. I never hired anybody without a procedure of what you were going to do to them before you hired them, whether you were going to give them a drug test or whether you're going to get. I understand you want to get things done, and I understand everybody in town wants you to get everything done, but stop. Get your ducks in order, then do things. How you can possibly hire people without a procedure of what you're going to have them doing, I have no idea. Public Works is not that simple to run that you can just say, oh, these two guys know what they're doing. Doesn't work that way. So you're talking about an administrator, you're talking about this, you're talking about that. Stop. What's your hiring procedure for every employee in the borough? Because it's got to be the same. You can't have, I'm going to make Joe do this, and I'm going to make Mike do that. Because then one of them is going to make you write him a big check because you're going to court. And the attorney will back that up, I'm sure. It's called discrimination.
Uniform procedure.
Right. You need to know what you actually want. It's nice to say we want a part-time administrator. What's that administrator going to do? What authority is he going to have? It has to be in writing, because if it's not in writing, you didn't tell me to do that. It's not on this piece of paper. I fulfilled the job. You can scream and holler all you want. I fulfilled the job. As far as the part where the emergency services go and the ambulances, I have a suggestion. If you're going to keep this building out here, fix it, because you're going to put money into it one way or another, and move the first aid squad over there. You're going to run a sewer line, a water line, fix the walls, do a few things that have to be done over there. That clears up that part of the building to do whatever you want to do for records, gets us our diesel trucks out of the way, makes life much easier. Last comment, Joe, you were right. Sometimes you got to call for all hands on deck. You got a big storm, you got all this. Unfortunately, the town pretty much told all the guys who were all hands on deck, sorry, we don't want you anymore. Fire department is gone, so there is no more all hands on deck.
Talk 22 Homestead Lane. I just have a couple of quickies. People talk about shared services. It sounds to me like we're just paying for service, and we're not giving them anything. They're going to plow our roads, and we're going to pay them. That's known as business. It doesn't sound like shared services to me, but that's just a comment. On the water situation of the water leak, the water meters are supposed to have valves in them to cut off service. That's how we control. That's how the town is supposed to control the service. If there's no valve in the water meter box, there's something wrong someplace. Because you've got to Yes.
There are valves in the houses. There is no shut-off valve on the street.
There are supposed to be cut-off valves in the meter box. That's how it works.
That's proper, and that's there. And but we're saying on the street, the water was bubbling up in the lawn.
But that's because no. was there a meter in the street?
Not that
so
I
we're
know.
Not it even was, metering his
it was
place.
In the house.
It was forget about it. There's not supposed to be a meter in a house. It's supposed to be a meter at the curb.
My water meter's in my house.
Well, I think that we ought to find out something about that, because if your water meter is in the house, there's something wrong. Then the utility company has no control over their services. And that's, I don't think, is the way the game is played. To go on to the redbud planting, sounds nice, but are you going to cut down the cherry trees?
The cherry trees are rotting, they're diseased, and they're going to fall down. We're not going to be cutting down trees.
Well, they're not all rotting.
We're not going to cut down trees. That's not what we do.
Well, how are you going to plant the redbuds if you got all the cherry trees in the way?
There's root. There's your little saplings.
They grow.
I know. There's room.
That's what happens with trees. They grow.
There's room. We'll be working with the members of the Environmental Commission.
Is there a planting plan?
Sorry?
Is there a planting plan?
Not yet, but there will be.
Okay, so will the planting plan be presented so
sure.
the community can look at it? Good. I'm glad to hear that. On Mr. Gotti, Mr. Gotti in the past has had state inspectors close him down any number of times for violating all the ordinances and codes and everything else. Now, you tell me that they now have approved everything that's been done? He has a statement from the state inspectors, the building inspector, the fire inspector, the Department of Health inspector, all of those people. He has certification from all of them, and you've seen this.
Are you talking about for the property that he owns here?
I'm talking about the property. I'm talking about the old
okay.
deli. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen these pieces of paper?
Food license, yes.
Hmm?
Food license.
See the
food
license,
County.
Okay,
and the
building inspector has signed off.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he has all of you. Everybody, he mm-hmm. has them, and they've been filed.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, that's as I reported, Bert.
Okay. Huh?
I just said that's as I reported.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've seen that. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was one other I had. Oh, yes. I do not understand. I'm sorry. I do not understand this online bill paying business. You have to have a paper record, do you not, of everything, of every bill that comes in and everything you pay?
I believe so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and everybody has to have a credit card. You're making everybody have a credit card?
No. Well, no, the online bill paying is optional. It's not going to be a requirement, right?
No,
it's going to be optional.
It's optional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you can
pardon me?
You can do that. I mean, it doesn't screw up the system.
No.
No.
No. Once it's in place, you have the option of paying online or sending in your check.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's because we haven't given out all the information to the public yet because it's not in place.
Oh, okay. So it's not in place yet.
Right.
So would it be too much to ask if somehow you distributed information about this process to the public at large?
Well, that's what we said, that as soon as it's up and running, we absolutely will.
Wouldn't it be a good idea to do it before it's up and running?
We're not sure about everything yet. So there's a fee that's involved to pay by credit cards. We don't know exactly what that is yet, so we'd want
Who
to...
Who pays the fee?
The credit card user.
You do.
You do, Bert.
Yeah.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So until we know...
How do you eliminate paying a fee to the credit card company?
Send
you can pay by
check.
Send
a check.
Yeah.
The way I do it every
yeah,
year,
you,
every quarter,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or you can have your bank send it directly.
My bank ain't sending anything directly. Believe me, I know.
But that's why
I do nothing like that.
That's why we haven't given this information to the public, because it's not all set yet, so we don't know every detail.
Okay, but before you implement it, don't you think you ought to tell the public?
Well, we discussed that earlier. Of course we
now
will.
That's, sitting here and talking to
we 20 people is not implementing it. We discussed that we will be doing that.
Good. Next thing is you're talking about agenda meetings by having the council sit as a committee at large, right? Which means you'll have more, you will have a quorum of the council having meetings discussing public business. Is that correct?
That's basically it,
Doesn't that require that you advertise each of those
meetings?
Absolutely. Okay, so you will advertise all those meetings in a way that the community can see, not just posting it on a bulletin board.
No, absolutely.
Bert, are you talking about the proposed agenda meetings?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be treated the same way. They wouldn't be treated any differently.
Same way as what?
As all of any
regular
council meeting.
Okay,
yeah.
But if you had agenda meetings of the committees, you wouldn't have to do that. So long as you didn't have a quorum in attendance.
Committees can't be forums, but we still have public meetings. I make mine all public anyway.
Well, you make them public, so therefore you post them in the Times and in the Asbury Park
Press. I don't have to do that because there's not going to be a quorum present, but the public are invited.
You can't have a quorum.
Right, and they won't have a quorum.
Committee.
You can't be sure.
No. Committee meetings cannot have a quorum.
Okay, be sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Allen, talk to you some more information on Blue Book.
Oh, okay, good.
They're a vendor from Illinois that sells all different kinds of products. They're New Jersey state contractor. There's nothing in there. It's on the envelope.
Yeah.
It's a detail.
I'll bring you the blue book and I'll show you what it means to somebody in the business.
I know what that is. Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes.
My name is George Aspercolis, 4 Dressage Court, Millstone, New Jersey. I farm about 70 acres of vegetables.
Could you spell your last name?
Aspercolis, A-S, P as in Peter, R-O, C-O-L-A-S.
Okay, thank you.
I farm 70 acres of vegetables, both here in Roosevelt and adjacent Millstone. Just to give a little credit to myself, I'm the president of Tri-County Farmers Co-op. I sit on the Millstone Township Agricultural Advisory Council. I'm the chairman of that council. I'm also on the Farmland Preservation Open Space Council of Millstone, a trustee of the Millstone Friends Historical Society, and quite recently have been voted on by my peers and appointed or waiting gubernatorial appointment to the Fish and Game Council in New Jersey.
Welcome.
I do take exception to some posts that I've seen on the Roosevelt Truth Facebook page that is depicting me and my son basically as criminals. Mm-hmm. Being I'm a farmer, I have 50 acres on my farm that is fenced in with 8-foot high fence to keep the deer out, try to exclude the deer. Each of those fields, 5-10 acre fields, cost me approximately $10,000 to fence in, quite an expense. It does not keep the deer out. They still come in and do damage to my crop. Farming is my livelihood. That's how I make my money. It's my sole source of income. So I find it upon myself the need to control the deer population in the area. Also, quite recently, the Farm Bureau, New Jersey Farm Bureau, has a 16-member committee, which I am also a person here, to address the overpopulation of deer in the state. Well, my concern is, and it's on the Facebook page, I don't know if the council comments on that, if I had anything control of that at all.
I'll talk.
We do have a lot of. There's a lot of deer in Roosevelt that, with no hunting in the borough, we try to hunt the outskirts of Roosevelt, the perimeters, primarily the Assapink. And we do gain access to the Assapink off of Pine Drive. And I took exception to the fact that there was a picture of myself and my son holding guns, saying, "Do you want to see this in the morning when you wake up," or whatever. We're not criminals. I think I'm a very reputable person in town. I wear very, very many hats. And I'm out there trying to protect my livelihood. On that site, it was told that they might be issuing possibility of resident-only permits on Pine Drive. Hold on. That's fine. If you're going to do that, then you also don't have the people that want to walk your woodland trail can't park on Pine Drive to walk your woodland trail. Guests or residents on Pine Drive wouldn't have access to visit their families. Okay? I'm just saying this primarily to defend my reputation. I don't think a picture of me on that Facebook page and my son was right.
Can I respond?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that site is in no way an official Roosevelt Borough website, Facebook page. It has nothing to do with anyone on the council in the governance of Roosevelt. The people who run it remain anonymous. They won't identify themselves. And as far as parking permits, we can't control what's said on that site, okay, because it has nothing to do with us whatsoever. But I can tell you that has never been discussed, parking permits in Roosevelt. Never.
I just felt it very important to come here and present my side in case it ever is discussed and I am not here. And I don't know, maybe you can advise me as well. Do I have a legal right against whoever posted that picture of myself and my son and depicted us as criminals? Because I will prosecute that person to full extent of the law.
I can't really give you private legal advice. I feel for your your situation. I think that I understand what you're saying, and I do think you should consult an attorney.
I have. But just so for your comfort and the comfort of the public, when we are hunting or walking down the road, our guns are not loaded. We follow every rule and regulation that Fishing Game puts out there. Myself especially. I'm on the Fishing Game Council. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
George, could I just, sure, while you're up there. Last year when I was, year before last, I was on the Environmental Committee, we received calls that people were, again, walking down the street with guns and whatnot. That's one thing. But that there were shots very close to their houses. So I pulled out the I'm not associated with that website, believe me. Okay. But I went to the Assentank and asked Captain Lisa over there what the situation was. And she said, you know, they're hunters. They corral the deers. They push them into this area and stuff like that. I had at that time pulled out a page from the Roosevelt Code, and it was the hunting distance, the safe hunting distance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even have a copy of that, so she's got that now. But it does show that 450 feet from any property, any house, not a property, but no, any house.
Any occupied dwelling,
right,
is a 450-foot buffer with the shotgun or any kind of a gun.
Yeah.
When you're with the bow and arrow, it's 150 feet.
150 feet.
Correct, but you have to be elevated, right, in a tree stand.
Right. But now the whole thing there is the trail from the sewer plant to Tamara Drive over here is within the Assumpink hunting area. So what can we do? And I grew up in New Egypt, so I was a hunter at one point in time. So what do we do here?
I can't personally speak for all hunters.
Yeah.
I can't. I know myself, my sons, and people that I hunt with. We go beyond that 450-foot buffer.
Right.
We know where that trail is. We're aware of it.
Right, because you got swamp on the other side. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
We're aware of that.
Right.
A lot of that trail is within that 450-foot buffer, so we can't shoot towards it or at it anyway.
Exactly.
Okay,
right.
So we know our parameters.
And I see there are deer blinds over there also, so it's almost like you can push the deer on the other side of the
correct
trail. Right.
Correct.
Right.
And we act in the utmost of safety.
What can we do here? As people, you know, a lot of people in town are afraid of guns. They've never seen a gun.
What Assapink does is an issue with horse riders in the Assapink. At the same time, they're small game hunting.
Right.
And horse riders are advised to wear orange.
Yep.
Wear an orange hat. Put orange
on
your horse. Wear an orange vest.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It's not that a person is going to purposely shoot at the animal, at the person, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at least so they're aware of where you are. They can see you. Hunters have to wear the orange.
Yep. Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, hunters pay an awful lot of money for licenses and permits to be allowed to hunt in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Assapink is a wildlife management area.
Mm-hmm.
Horse
mm-hmm.
riders don't have to pay.
Right. Right.
So hunters a lot of times feel they have more rights to that land than the horse riders.
Absolutely.
Okay? So like I said, I can't speak for all hunters.
Yeah.
But anybody walking, hiking, riding a horse, walking their dog, needs to take precautions during hunting season.
Yep.
Be aware of when the hunting season is and take precautions at that time. Okay, wear the orange.
Right.
Make noise.
Absolutely. Now, since we are a little town surrounded by woods, okay, and hunters are going to take advantage of that, how can we, as it's kind of an artistic community also, and the, you know, little kids out in the woods putting painted rocks out there and stuff like that, how can we get more together with you guys to make sure that we're not offending each other? And again, I have nothing to do with that page, so I have no idea. But what can do you understand what I'm saying? You know,
it's a tough question to answer. I could give you my card, and you can call me, and I can speak for who I hunt with and represent.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't speak for other hunters.
And some
other
yahoos
peoples
down from Bergen County that are out just popping their rifles off and stuff like
I
that.
Understand.
You know, yeah.
I myself will not hunt the Assapink in small game season.
Right.
I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Okay. As a hunter, I'm afraid to go out there with my dog.
You understand.
Because of who's out there.
You
of
understand.
Course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
So the only thing I can say, I mean, you can contact Fish and Game. Perhaps they would have an answer to you how to contact more people. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Posters, placards, you know, this is an area, play area, school, whatever. I mean, safety zone signs are around. They're all around Roosevelt, and they depict the safety.
But again, the 450 feet is only 450 feet, and there are trails even in back of the senior citizens thing or Solar Village. It's like
it will be hard to talk to the hunters. It's best to just instruct your residents that this is the hunting season. Use certain precautions. Wear the orange.
Why is it hard to talk to the hunters?
How are you going to get them all in one place?
And
so
where
many
are they
different
from?
Hunters.
Yeah.
Your residents are here.
Yeah.
You have ways of contacting them.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to reach all the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could put in the commendium, you know, in the digest that all the hunters read.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to read it.
I don't read
them
all day.
No, I live on Pine Drive, so I understand. And it's kind of weird.
See, I mean, I don't want parking permits, but when I first heard that, my initial reaction was,
it's like, what are you?
No.
Right. Yeah.
It might not be bad. Because
right.
I farm right on the other side of that creek on Pine Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kicking trespassers off my ground
mm-hmm.
all the time that are parking mm-hmm. on Pine Drive and walking
or
through.
Or parking by the sewer plant and walking that
exactly.
little trail back there.
At a previous meeting I was at, I was told they weren't allowed to park by the sewer plant. But that's where they are, and they're coming onto my property. Okay? So, you know, I know both ends of it.
And that's what I'm trying to say. So how can we come to like a, you know?
My whole thing is there's too many deer in this area.
They come here to hide.
Okay. I mean, they're doing to my crop, about 40% of my crop is damaged by deer.
Okay.
Can you afford to live on 60% of your pay?
Yeah.
I have to every year.
So you need to push them more into like the...
We try to push them out to the Assapink, out to the other side. Where it's legal, open to shoot. You know?
Maybe we can get together on that or something.
But I have a question. You have to understand that we have to. We did have a citizen come to our last council meeting to express this concern, and we have to respect our citizens' concerns. I myself, first and foremost, the mention of permits was just a temporary outburst that was immediately simmered down, and it's never been seriously. And this is why my first point is you have to be very careful about, and this is what I'm concerned personally about Roosevelt Truth, is that people can misconstrue that it is representing the government, which
it is
not.
It is not.
I monitor it, and I'm hesitant to make comments because I'm now on the council, but also because I don't like to interact with anonymous websites. The administrators are anonymous. Therefore, they can easily make pot shots and take a comment that was just a comment at a public meeting and post it as truth when it was totally false. Developing, because I read them all, this cascade of untruths that the neighbor who first brought it up was simply trying to clarify. I read all of them. I think it's really a shame that this site, with its rumors, has now caused this conflict. It should not be allowed. And I think that we have to hear, it's Mr. Masterson, we have to respect and come to some kind of balance. And one of the things I said at the meeting, it was a public comment, was my nephew's a hunter, and as a property owner in Roosevelt, I've let friends of my nephew, who I know are responsible, reputable hunters like yourself, access, because I know they would do it safely, have access to the aspen pink through my yard. But that's one person. So I just want to, you know, can't like resolve it here tonight, but I just want to ask for some kind of balance, because we do have to represent the concerns, and communicating is the best thing. Don't do it through that Roosevelt Truth. Please go to our website, talk to us. You know, it's really important.
That's why
I'm
here tonight.
And we will negotiate, but we also want to, and it's a shame that it went through that blender and it shouldn't have happened.
I had no idea.
And I followed it, and I felt like saying something, but then I'm so hesitant to getting caught up in that maelstrom. That's kind of pointless.
Just so you realize how important this is to me.
Yeah.
I went to my cabin in Pennsylvania on Friday to spend a week up there for hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
I came home today, 3.5 hours, just to address this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question. Oh, I ask a question. And please don't take this the wrong way, but would it be possible for you to park in the Aspen Pink? Because neighbors, because people are concerned seeing people with guns. Is there a possibility
That's going to be my next, and I've already called Fish and Game. I'm on Fish and Game Council. I'm waiting for gubernatorial appointment to this council. That could take years. It's crazy. But my next contact is going to be to Fish and Game to provide parking for this side of the Assapink. I don't know where they would do it. That's going to be up to them. So we do have access.
Up the hill and to the right.
Yeah, but that's so far from where I'm hunting.
The sewer plant would be the only other place.
Correct. Yeah. But
you see, if you're on the street, it's kind of awesome.
I totally understand.
It's like, whoa, big guns.
I mean, since I've heard about this, I do know other people who live on Pine Drive. Yeah. Yeah. They told me, just park in my driveway. I'm like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not the point.
Yeah.
People park all the time. I live at the end of the road near the sewer treatment plant.
At the sewer plant.
I know most of the hunters. They've been coming there for years. Yeah. You know, I have conversations.
I mean, most of the hunters that are there, we respect the boundaries. We might appear to be hunting right behind your house. We have an empty gun, and we're walking through the woods to where we are allowed to be. I mean, I could walk you into that section of woods there and show you the trees are marked with orange paint. Because we know how far we have to be.
The property. Yeah.
I don't want to lose my right to hunt.
Okay.
And if I'm within that safety zone, I lose my right to hunt.
Yeah.
My privilege to hunt.
Privilege. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
Okay.
So.
But the sewer plant would just be a more less, you know, visual place. You know.
Well.
And even if you were there, instead of walking up Pine Drive with the open gun and stuff, you could go the trail and then push across the creek.
I totally understand. I've been parking farther and farther back. Maybe that's my alternative, is to go all the way to the end of Pine Drive and back and park.
Yeah. And there's no trail, you know, four-wheel road that you can come up and back of your house.
No, it's all swamp back here. There's no way.
There's got to be a way. I want you to know I'm going to be thinking seriously
about this. I give you one of my cards. You have to call me.
Could you also leave me? Because
what have we done in the past?
Okay.
I mean,
nothing. As far as I know.
But we haven't gotten this type of complaint.
I'll go up top of the hill by the sewer plant, and if I see people in the field near your house, it might have been your guys. I'll just yell. I'll whistle. Come on, you're too close.
It was also
light
to me, because
I
had some people call me saying, George, you see what's on Facebook?
Yeah.
Let me show you how it's all on Facebook.
I've seen it all myself.
Here's how advanced I am. Does that explain it?
No, it's okay.
I didn't know what was on Facebook.
Okay.
Somebody told me, said, George, pictures on Facebook.
I don't do
Facebook.
But this problem has ramped up in the last couple of years. This is not an ongoing.
On the other side of town here, on like Lake Drive. I mean, people go up there and all the way up and over to the right and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people see folks walking down the street with, even if the shotgun's open, you know, it's like it's
in some
still,
areas,
it's,
that's acceptable.
Yeah.
A lot of areas, it's not.
Exactly.
It's not acceptable.
Negative attitude toward guns.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I totally understand all
and
that.
Rifles used to be no one feared arrival.
Well, I mean, where I grew up, if they didn't have the posted the way it was, I mean, we'd get buckshot going past our heads out in the yard.
They had off school for April hunting season.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
Plus, we have no way of knowing that your rifle isn't loaded.
You're correct.
Yeah. So that's where the safety issue comes up.
Everybody should always assume a weapon is loaded.
Absolutely.
I'm always going to say that because that's for safety purposes, okay? Yeah. You never just think it's unloaded. You always have to assume it's loaded, okay? But I'm going to tell you, 99% of the hunters you're going to see here in town, their guns are unloaded. If you see them, if they're orange on.
You can't use slug out here. You can just use shot.
You can use shotgun. You can use slugs. Yes, not a rifle.
Well, that goes more than 450 feet.
It does.
Yeah.
But most of the people you see here in town, they're not going to be using slugs. That's mostly private ground.
Okay.
Where they know, they know.
The Aspen allows slug?
Aspen does allow slug, yes.
Okay, well, thank.
I'm just saying.
I want your card.
Yeah, well, I would like your card also. Because I can see you're interested in doing it properly, but not necessarily every hunter is like you.
You're right. Like I said, I cannot speak for all hunters.
It's absolutely a dilemma. Yeah. As I said, for years and years we didn't have the problem of hunters coming and parking, and in the last couple of years it's ramped up a lot, and now it's an ongoing situation every hunting season, and it's hard because
I know for myself and my group, we don't come in here at all during the week. I don't worry about the schools and this and that. Never during the
weekends.
Weekends,
everybody's home.
It's always
home,
very early, Saturday morning. I want to come in, scare the deer, shoot them, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's less conspicuous.
Okay.
And that's what I try to keep it. I try to keep it inconspicuous. I don't want to cause
problems. Can we ask you not to park on Pine and at the sewer plant, maybe? I mean, that would be the biggest thing.
I can go down further, but when everyone said a couple meetings ago, no parking by the sewer plant,
no, what we mean is in the turnaround there.
His house is right there. Yeah. That's
like
it.
I said,
five houses.
The only reason I'm here, and if I wrongly assumed it was a connected website or Facebook page,
how
you
to know?
I apologize.
It's confusing. Yeah.
But that's just
that's the
where I'm
danger
from.
Of that. And please, I just ask you to take a pause because Mr. Masterson was trying to correct an incorrect, and it just developed into pictures. But I never saw. Looking at those that your group was being presented as criminals. He was just trying to make his case. And we do have to, you know, this is a balance. We have to respond to our citizens' concerns. But this has been, would never have ended up in this except for this anonymous website.
inflammatory.
I'm just trying to protect my reputation. I'm not your average run-of-the-mill hunter who's out there shooting up the woods.
Yeah,
it's
a good idea to report it to Facebook.
Is this Mr. Masterson here?
Yes.
And if he would agree to this, too, I never ran away from you. I stood right there.
I will remove the pictures.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to present you as a criminal. I was just simply saying...
And I didn't
realize
that at all.
Okay.
I don't know who you are, and I will remove the pictures.
Okay.
It's okay. But, I mean, I've always been there. I've welcomed the police to come, the fish and game people to come.
Lisa,
because I know I'm doing
nothing
wrong.
They all know you. I mean,
thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
I appreciate it.
Leave your card with us, please.
I am going to report Roosevelt Truth to Facebook for that. I read it. I was so upset. Do you want to come up and... Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but that was a bad
one. Okay, excuse...
Oh.
Do we need a closed session?
Wait, I think, did you...
No, Rob, I'm
no,
sorry,
I
do you want
to...
I didn't think you
I would like to hear from you.
No, yes. I'm Rob Masterson, 62 Pine Drive. I don't want to cause further decisiveness in this town. It was a concern that I brought. I apologize to you and your family that I was presenting you that way. I was just trying to show what, from our point of view, what we're coming out to. I'll remove the pictures tonight. But, you know, I don't know who you are personally. That was not my intent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robin. Yes.
Sorry. Sorry.
Right. Do we need a closed session? God, I hope not.
No. I'll stand up for that. No.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
No.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Without objection.
Also. Meeting adjourned.
All right. So it's 10:38.
Oh, my God.
Home and then
This meeting.
I don't know why this one went so long.
I bet. I'm sure.
How's my buddy Ron
doing? He's good. But it's a shame you didn't, because they had met with him. So it's like an overlap. Well, thank you. Yes, thank you.
All right. Welcome to another scintillating borough council.
But it doesn't translate to him actually opening his deli.
No, there's a host of mental illnesses.